Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Good morning, Teresa Strasser. Good morning, Danny Bennett.
Just made it.
866-901-ADAM. Almost got clipped by Bonaducci in the parking lot.
Adam, please describe the blazer that Danny Bonaducci
Look at me,
is rocking today.
Well, I don't even know anywhere I can wear it besides at 5 o'clock in the morning.
I don't have to look at it to see it.
I'm going to light my cigarettes off.
I have my back turned to it, and I can tell it's a fire engine crushed red burgundy.
Yes.
That, let me see. Oh, there you go.
Right on both counts.
Is it velvet? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, it is
satin
crushed velvet.
Lapels.
Satin lapels.
It's Hefner.
Wow.
It's very Hefner.
Oh, the red cowboy boots.
Oh.
Where are you going?
The cowboy boots have been mine. I went through a thing with my boots and just ran out of colors. But this is one of, this is from Dragonfly from Lynn and Alex on my birthday. I have the same thing in green.
They took you shopping.
Yeah, they went crazy with me. Got me a spa day. Where some crazy Russian rubbed the bejesus out of me, and there was no happy ending and no tipping, and it was actually still fun.
I thought it was
Boda.
Just the tip.
It's a brand new place. Let me I'll turn you on to it. It's in West Hollywood, but I don't think it's gay, because there's a bunch of pictures of women on the posters. It has a full bar on one side, full restaurant on the other, cold bath, hot bath, steam room. I've never done anything like that before. These guys, homos know how to play.
Oh, yes.
They're just the best.
I'm
going out with them this weekend.
Well, you got to look at it this way. You're talking about the gay lifestyle. I really do think, I mean, I know this sounds, well, I don't know how it's going to sound. But there's a certain selfishness that a lot of gay men have, which is, it's about me. I want to do my thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to look after kids. I don't want to take care of a family, a wife. I don't want to drive a minivan. I want to drive a two-seater. I want to live in a cool place. I want to do my own thing, and I kind of want my own hours. And most gay relationships are based on two gay guys setting the rules. Look, if I meet a dude that I am hot for and we want to get it on one night, don't take it personally. I'll go over to his place. I'm not going to bring him home and do it in the entry hall, but I'm doing my own thing. And I drive a two-seater, and you drive your two-seater. You don't drive my two-seater. You have your car. I have my car. I like to take vacations on my own sometimes. I like to do my own thing. I like my own time. I like to spend my money not on college for some kids and not on elective surgeries for some chick that's getting a little long in the tooth. I like to spend my money on me. You make your money. You spend your money on you.
In a way, and this is not a suck-up thing, is this like one of the most important things to me besides being either well-read, which I feel I am, or just being, I don't know how to get as smart as Adam does, claiming not to read. But that's really important to me. But, you know, Adam comes in that same sweatsuit every day and is possibly this close to the gay conversation I had with Lynn and Alex about certain rules.
Oh, really?
Well, the bit what we did where we got all these clothes and everything and ran around and went to Dragonfly, went to Ed Hardy. It was awesome. But the bit was supposed to be I was on a date with Alex. It was a joke. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't get that at first. They just said meet us here, and Amy was with me.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't seem to mind. It was, you know, they included her sometimes. But then I asked. I said, well, I've got, they said, now what do you want to do first on our date?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, to be honest, I have a straight guy. Because I was scared at first. I thought, what are they tricking me?
Mm-hmm.
No, I haven't known them that long. They seem great.
Right.
But they're treating me like I was on a gay date with them or with Alex. So I said, you know what, the hell, they're my friends. They want to do this. They think it's funny. I'll do it. They're doing the next one with, I don't hope it's not a Kim, but a scoop, but it's a famous woman. You pretend you're on a date with one of them.
Kim Kardashian?
Yeah. I'm sorry if I put it up for you guys. I'm sorry.
I heard half a Kim.
Yeah, and you got
it. And I knew it wasn't Basinger.
And half a Kim's enough for most people.
Lynn and Alex, by the way, the two gay men who come in here periodically and dish the scoop on the gossip.
Yeah, they run LA Rag Mag.
Right.
Right.
They're the new Perez.
Right.
And I think, and certainly more fun and willing to go further for us, by the way. I mean, I don't mean to hurt Perez's feelings, and he's great, and I hope he does write bad stuff about us. But they'll go further for us than he will.
Well, it's hard to get Perez to a landline.
Right.
Perez is blown up, by
Perez
the way,
is
and
blown
now he's
up.
Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah, he's everywhere.
Yeah, he's put some weight on. Anyway.
So I was supposed to be on a gay date.
No?
No.
Oh,
no.
I see.
He's okay. getting a lot of advertising on his stuff.
Oh, that too. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And finally, I said, "Down with it. Whatever you guys want." Okay. Mm-hmm. So I didn't even kiss one on the cheek. And at the end of the night, when I had all these clothes and everything, and they said, "This has been the best date ever. You're so much fun to be on a date with." And I said, "Oh, it's not over. Wait till I get you guys home and you right on tape." So we might be seeing that.
We might be seeing what?
Oh. They said, "This is the best date we've ever been on." And I said, "Oh, it's not over yet. Wait till I get you two home and give you guys both a..."
Oh,
that's a day. Yeah. Right. So that's a videotape, but I figure I'm pretty comfortable with not being gay. Yeah. I just do whatever the hell I want.
But, Adam, this is radio.
But, yeah, I was... I don't know.
Well, you symbolizing the pleasures of the...
I think everybody got it.
Yeah, oral pleasures. Yeah.
And if they didn't get it, I'll give it to them later, because I'm just that kind of whore.
This was based on my comment about gay men being selfish.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you for reminding me. So I said, he said, "What do you think about our date so far?" And I said, "Still trying to protect myself, you know, letting go of all abandon to be part of their bit."
Sure.
I said, "Well, I have a straight man's perspective of the gay life and a gay date. If I thought this was a great gay date, could we go get another guy like that was prettier than both of us?" And they go, "Oh, yeah, you're allowed to have guest stars.
Right.
But here are the rules." And that's where you're so close. Not only can you, but you are never allowed to get his phone number or know his name. And he doesn't come to the house. You rent a hotel suite.
Yeah, there's a certain look within.
I want to be gay. I want to do all that stuff. I just don't want to touch guys.
Within all men is a young teenage gay child trying to get out. And in, you know, Board Up, Bill's case, literally is trying to escape him. He's in him. With us, it's more of a figurative thing where there's a thing, there's a Peter Pan part of men that you watch Entourage and you go, "Those lucky bastards. Yeah. Look at them all hanging out, getting the hot chicks, going out to dinner every night, just like the four of them. Smoking reefer and a huge bachelor pad and then hopping into their acid Martins and going out and scoring hot tail. And the next night will be new beers and a new set of boobies in there. And you think, wow, this is great. It's fantasy to most men. What happens is you get domesticated. You become a farm animal. You're no longer the wild stallion running free. You're just going in a circle hooked up to some pump, just sucking water or crushing some grain or something. You become like a beast of burden. Oh, you get to walk. It's in a 20-foot circle, and you're hooked up to a harness, and that's hooked up to a rig that crushes this weed into flour. That's basically what you become as a guy, or at least that's how most guys describe marriage.
And women forget that when we're wild stallions, 7 out of 10 times that we run wild and free, we run wild and free back home alone. Chicks don't get that. Chicks, because they can get it just by saying yes. Yeah. Think we always get it just because we want it.
Yeah, a little more
we
than
strike out
seven.
A lot.
A little more than seven.
Yeah, seriously.
And, nine and change.
Even that, like the fame thing that makes you on an even keel with a pretty woman, it doesn't. They still don't just break out the sex like guys do. They still want to respect themselves in the morning. I'm not a groupie. I'm not going to sleep with Corolla just because I think he's the funniest. I'm not going to sleep with Bonaducci just because I grew up watching him. They just don't do it all the time. It's hard and embarrassing.
What hot 22-year-old thinks I'm the funniest? I mean, that's a question you got to ask yourself, too.
How old's my girlfriend?
25.
Grew up listening to it. You're her whole... You know why I get this a lot? She'll do something really bitching. This is worse than I'll bet Adam could do it. You know what my wife used to say when I couldn't fix things? You know why I learned that? Adam Carolla, and she was 12. Not because it's not a physical thing, so relax. It's love line.
Yeah, all right. Well, maybe there's still some hope, but the point is gay men, I believe, are leading a selfish lifestyle. And they know it.
Yeah, and God bless them.
And they like to rub it in straight guys' faces.
They'll rub it in anyone's face. That's their problem.
They will. And if you don't believe me, most gay men I know, when they're around beautiful women, will grab their boobs say, "What do you think?"
Yeah.
Now, if that's not trying to rub it in the face of the straight guy, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
They lead a life that says, look, we were made fun of in junior high and high school. We lost a lot of friends to AIDS, and we can't legally be married in this country. But We're going to grab these boobies next to us and show you. We get no pleasure from it, although we get pleasure from the look on your face when we grab the boobies. It's like a vegan waving a steak around in front of a dog.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm not going to eat it, but you can't have any. And I get to touch it.
Remember when Perez was here and you said, would you kiss him?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah. That's how it works. They drive around the cars we want to drive around, and they live in the kind of places we want to live. They live the life. It's Peter Pan. It's a selfish, yep. Peter Panish life. And most guys, and I've been saying it for years, I think other guys are starting to come around on it, are sort of secretly jealous. When you go over to... When I go over to Jimmy Kimmel's on a Sunday and there's 20 guys sitting around drinking beer and eating a pizza that Jimmy makes in his brick oven all day long watching football, those guys all lament when the clock strikes about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the evening on Sunday and the late game is over and everyone has to return to the wife, the family,
right.
The bills, the responsibility, the minivans, and all the other cliches that go along with being a domesticated adult male. They wish there was a way that they could all stay at Jimmy's house, tap another keg, and invite some chicks over that night for round two, but they can't.
But ultimately, does anybody really want to be Scott Baio at 45 or at 50 or at 60, single with no family, no kids, no grandkids?
Well, I'll tell you why. No, they don't want to be, and yes, half of them want to be Scott
right.
Baio, but the other half do not because there's a heterosexual burden. When are you going to have kids?
Right, yeah.
When are you going to settle down? You can't go on this way forever. Well, nobody says to a 45-year-old gay man who has money, who has a car, who has a great lifestyle, no one says to that guy, what are you doing?
Right.
You know, we talked about Jeff Lewis, who was in here a couple days back, or at least on the phone. He's on that show Flipping Out. He's a real estate guy, buys houses, he flips houses, you've probably seen it. He's 45, he's successful, he lives alone, no one keeps bugging him every other day. When are you gonna settle in? What do you mean? I have a career, I have relationships, I have friends, I have a lifestyle, I have what have you, that's what do you mean? No one bugs him. There's a weird shadow, and then it's that weird thing where almost on a daily basis, at a certain point as a guy, at a certain point as a male, you have to get married just to get everyone off your back.
Right.
Yeah.
You
too.
Start, you know, you're in your early 30s. People cut you a break. They don't give you much slack unless you've been with the same chick for more than 3 years. You've been with one chick for more than 3 years, then people bug you. But as a guy, you start heading toward 40. Don't you want kids?
Yes,
do you not want kids?
I know.
You not want kids? And then people doing that retarded math. Like, you can't do that math. You know, if you had a kid tomorrow, when he was 10, you'd be 50.
Right.
I know.
And then when he was 20, you'd be 60. Okay, let me grab my scratch pad, Copernicus.
Yes.
This is awesome stuff. And when they were getting married, you'd be, yes, I understand. I would perpetually be 40 years older than the child.
Got it.
I know there's not some point where the kid hops up 10 years.
Right.
And then when he's 30, you drop back down to 50. And eventually you cross.
Right.
Yes, I know I will be, however old I am, older than the kid for my entire life.
You're thinking about that. I thought you were talking about me. Dante will be of legal age to move out when I am 60.
Yeah, they do that. Like, you're going to see 60.
It's not going to change. The space-time continuum will not bend.
I know. And they're like, and then they start coming up with all these fantasies. What happens during the
prom?
What happens during the father-son Highland games that take place at the school? And you can't throw that telephone pole. And it's like, huh? The Highland games?
What is that?
Yeah. Oh, you know, it takes place in Scotland. They have to throw the poles and chuck the weights. And I'm like, look, I don't know what my dad is older than me. That lazy ass never got off the sofa. I don't care what kind of health he was in. You know what I mean? It's not like, so what? My dad went to, two Little League games and sat up in the stands and read a book. Did it matter that he was 35, 55, or 105?
Right. Well, me and the man were talking about the pros and cons of getting married, and he echoed exactly what you said, which is the main reason, because I'm not that interested in it, but he said people will continuously ask you why you're not married, and he would rather just nobody ask the question. Plus, as far as rings go, if you wear a ring, people just won't ask you, why don't you wear a ring?
Yeah.
Everything is just to avoid people asking.
Right,
my brother is older than I am, and when his son, my nephew Dominic, said, let's go throw the ball around, Dad. My brother went out and threw the ball one time and went, had you too late in life, son. Walked back in the house, swear to God. Just this is exactly what he said, and now I said, because I just like the way it sounds.
Danny, hey, Gretchen's on the phone.
Hey, Gretchen. Hey, Gretchen. What's happening, Gretchen?
Well, you said, what hot 22-year-old listened to Adam Carolla, and I was going to say, I'm like, I have to call him right now and tell him that I listen to you guys every morning on the way to work, and I laugh the whole way. I just about crash every morning.
Hey, Gretch, I know that you don't mind if I call you Gretch, too. I was married to a Gretchen forever. Do you mind?
No, not mine, actually. I love that.
Okay, cool. Gretch, what I was saying was that a lot of women... I'm helping her with this talk. I was saying that...
why are you interrupting
Adam said he doesn't know 22-year-olds.
Gretchen all the time.
You do not interrupt me!
I know.
The Gretchen... the kids don't find... Young people don't find Adam Carolla sexy. And I said, I disagree. Their first sexual knowledge has often come from Adam and Loveline. Was that the case with you?
Exactly. And I remember Adam Carolla was on Loveline when I was, I don't know, I think I was in junior high or high school, and I was like, what is this show?
I want to ride the pony. Yeah.
So where are you heading?
That's why.
You heading to work?
I am. I'm going to work right now.
Where do you work so early?
Tuesdays and Thursday mornings I work at a coffee stand in Seattle.
Mm. Oh, they have coffee in Seattle?
Can you believe that?
I'm just trying to. What do you look like, Gretchen? I'm trying to work out a little fantasy scenario for me that involves 22-year-olds and free coffee.
5'6" and a half. I have blonde hair and blue eyes, and I'm tan because I just went camping.
Do you mind me doing the weight thing? Because I was just on the internet last night finding the perfect weight and body fat percentage for a woman 5'6" and just tall. What do you weigh?
133.
You're between 134 and 140 is supposed to be the perfect weight. You're perfect.
Mm,
wow.
133, 5'6" and a half, and likes to camp.
She's going to pour me grits. She's going to give me a nice cup of joe, and I'm going to give her a nice cup of love. She's 22. She's got a baby pubes. Tonight, when I say Mount Ace, that's a command, baby, not a mountain. I'm gonna pitch myself a little tent in my sweatpants. Goodbye, minivan. Hello, Miata. Matter of fact, I'm so single, I want a one-seater, not even a two-seater. I'm just gonna set one seat on the hood of a Miata, and you give me a lap dance. JH stage 4. All right, sir.
Gretchen.
And one more thing I was going to say. Danny, my little sister's name is Amy. So
How bizarre is that?
This is amazing.
It's going to be an awesome double date.
It's going to just be an orgy. Like, wait, how old is your Amy?
She's 20.
All right, okay, perfect. Yeah, little old for Danny, but okay. All right, Gretchen, thanks, baby
thanks,
girl.
Gretchen. Thanks,
it's nice to talk to a Gretchen and not have it cost me $300 an hour.
Gretchen in Seattle going to the coffee stand.
Yeah.
That's all. I'll just get romantic about that for a second. Seeing that Seattle Space Needle up there, fog rolling in over the bay.
Space Needle, baby.
Little fish, you know, fish market going.
Right. Nice warm cappuccino.
All right, we need to take ourselves a break. When we come back, I got to do a little sorting out. Now, here's one. It's a little off the topic, but I kind of like it. We're talking, whenever Ray comes in, we talk about Snake and the Wheeze and all the guys that I used to hang out with. I'll tell you, I've got a nickname or two, and I gave almost everyone I knew a nickname, and actually it happens. I don't know if it's a thing that, you know, we're talking straight and gay. It's a very straight guy thing to do.
Yeah.
The nicknames.
Yeah.
Gay guys may name each other's honkers, but I don't know if they give each other That's a nicknames.
Very good point. So you ended up giving out Wheeze and all these nicknames, Snake?
Yeah, I gave out a lot of them. Well, it's one of these things where Snake got the name Snake because Snake's real name is Todd Euler. And there was a character in Speed Racer called Snake Euler.
Sure was.
So if a guy's going to have a last name of Euler, you're going to want to call the guy Snake Euler, especially if you're in the Speed Racer demo.
Are you going to give out nicknames?
I could give out
a
few.
You gave me one, and it stuck.
I love getting nicknames. It's a sign that somebody accepts you.
Yeah. Well, I've never had one. I've tried to make it stick, even Ace or Lucky. Or something like that, and he never, ever, ever, ever stuck. You called me Debo one day, and I said, oh, I mentioned that to my son because of J-Lo.
Mm-hmm.
And since that stuff, people actually go, yo, Debo. And I answer to it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's nice, and it's one of these things where it either works or it doesn't. There's no science to it. There's no math to it. You can't figure it out in advance. I would like to know, like, for instance, a lot of people want to know where we got Bald Brian's nickname.
I don't get it.
Is there any chance maybe some of us could get new nicknames?
Oh, wait. No. Once you get one, you're sort of saddled with it.
Yeah.
Unless you want to grow some hair.
Well, speaking of saddles, I'm going to talk about last night.
We will take ourselves a break. 866-901-ADAM. I'll tell you what. You call up, you tell us where you got your nickname and what it is, or if you need a nickname. Call up. You tell us what you do, what you look like. You fat, you bald, you tall, you skinny, whatever you got. We'll toss a nickname your way. We'll do that next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. With a sneak peek at this morning's show, here's our program director, Jack Silver.
Time to shout at the devil, peeps. Today we got actress and comedian Aisha Tyler, voiceover legend Billy West, and from Motley Crue, Nikki Six. Oh, man! I wonder if Nikki remembers that time in 86 we did a mountain of blow and woke up wearing each other's underpants. Because I sure don't. Okay!
Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we're talking about nicknames. Got my buddy the Wheeze, who was the Weasel, who started as the Sex Weasel, and then it just got went down to Weasel and Wheezy. Ray never needed a nickname. Ray was always just Ray. Although Ray's nickname wasn't really a nickname, but there used to be DTR parties that there used to be Don't Tell Ray parties.
Right.
And our only code thing we had with Ray is once in a while we'd have to explain to him that whatever was going on this weekend was a DTR event. It's a Don't Tell Ray event. And, you know, people'd say, we're having a party, but it's a DTR party. And if Ray shows up, we're going to have to shut the party down. So, you know, we honored it for the most part.
Yeah.
Like, all right, we don't want to see whatever, the barbecue get thrown into the swimming pool while it was filled with hot dogs and burgers, or, you know, the not the girl who was throwing the party, but the mom of the girl who threw the party getting tossed into the pool and things like that. We don't want anyone urinating in any shampoo bottles and then putting them back in the master bedroom and food fights and things like that. So this will be a DTR party.
Why do I picture your wedding invitation saying DTR engraved at the bottom?
Ray. Kimmel gave Ray the nickname Ray Tard.
That's pretty good.
I forgot about that
one.
Well,
first initials like the one you gave me are pretty good. Unless you're a girl and your name is like, you know, Christine.
Yeah.
Or anything with a C.
Or Veronica. It's
right.
Not great either.
Jeez, BBB.
Cliff?
Yeah, what's going on?
What's happening, Cliff?
All right. Think about my nickname. I'm 6'2", 240 pounds, black man with dreads.
Tiny.
Mm-hmm. Do you have one or do you want one?
No, they gave it to me already. And they're all over for the railroad. Everybody has a nickname there.
Mm.
Stretch or Tiny?
What'd they give you?
Predator.
Predator, yeah, not bad.
Nice, yeah, with the dreads.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it.
What do you do? Predator had the dreads hanging out of the... It was alien. The Predator was an alien who came to fight Schwarzenegger, but had, like, dreadlocks.
Okay.
But also, to really describe him well, when he was very excited, he would be the last person you would want to have any kind of oral relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
9 sets of teeth.
Okay.
Hey, Cliff?
Yeah?
What do you do for the railroad?
I'm a train conductor.
Mm-hmm.
Neat.
Oh. Be nice if they. It'd be nice if they worked that in somehow. Work that gig in. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
he's a conductor.
Charlie.
Yeah. Wheels, tracks, rails,
Whistler,
something like that.
Caboose.
All right, Cliff. But Cliff has one. So what are you going to do? Hold on a second. Wait a minute. Hold on, Cliff.
Yeah.
You're black.
Yeah.
You work on the railroad.
Yep.
Coal.
Oh, not bad.
Hmm?
There is no racial bigotry. No.
Everything's diesel powered now. Lisa?
Yes.
Diesel wouldn't be a bad
diesel
name.
Wouldn't be bad either.
I'd be Diesel Dan.
Diesel Danny Bonaduce. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
You can lose the Bonaduce on that one.
All right. Lisa?
Yeah.
What do you got going?
It's Adam, Teresa, and Diesel Dan.
I'm
what's up?
Mm-hmm. 5'3", 120. I love to dance, and I work in construction.
Mm.
Your name's Lisa. Have you ever had any nicknames, or do you have one now?
Yeah, Lesbo.
No, I don't. I want a nickname.
Mm-hmm.
Works in construction. What exactly do you do?
We are a general contractor. We build tilt-up buildings.
Come on.
Concrete tilt-up
buildings. But what do you specifically do?
I'm in project management.
You know what concrete tilt-up buildings are?
Nope.
The walls are formed and poured in place with concrete. They're concrete walls.
That's a good way to do it, though, right? They're fast and they're good and they're strong. I've seen it done on TV.
Yeah, instead of building, well, you can only go so high with these things.
Yeah, but it's a mold, right?
Yeah, it's a mold.
Neat.
Right. They fill it with concrete.
Okay,
they tilt
now
it up.
The fun begins.
It's a tough one.
Getting sick of Brian already.
Yeah, all right. So,
Lisa.
Let's see.
Ooh, you know what? Maybe this is too artsy. But I imagine, Lisa, you work with all guys, right?
Oh, yeah.
Remember in West Side Story, there was the tomboy, the girl, and she would always run with the gang, and they called her anybody's?
Yeah, but that's too
that's
stretchy.
It's also a connotation for whore.
Yes.
It is?
Anybody's?
Oh, I hadn't
she's
thought
with
of
the
that.
Gang. Like, she's the, why don't you just call her Joy Division?
All right.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Lisa.
Yeah.
I'm gonna need some hobbies. You have any hobbies?
I like crafts, but I love to dance.
Well, what about like a haircut?
She's hey, buddy. She's working on a tilt up, and I'm tilting up a wiener wall right now. All right, hold on. How about dice?
Dice.
Well, you like craps.
I think crap. Oh, is that craps? I
no,
thought she said craps.
She like bowel movements?
I think
oh,
she said crafts.
Oh, you say crafts?
You know, like scrapbooking.
Okay, I like craps, and I like crafts, C-R-A-F-T-S.
Well, I thought it was crafts.
I like art, put it that way.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
Not like, crafts.
Right.
All right. Well, there's where my mind's at.
what color hair do you have?
Call you Lanyard.
I have dark hair.
Mm.
I look like you got red hair. It's easy.
Yeah, that's
I look
easy.
Like I'm Hawaiian.
Oh, Hawaiian.
Yes.
Spam? Hawaiians love spam.
Spam's cute.
Damn, this is harder than I thought.
It's really hard. Lisa, wait, do you have anything interesting about your last name?
No, it's not interesting.
All right, let's stick with the product. It's concrete. Mm-hmm. So what is it? It's hard. It hard as concrete people use as an expression. So don't you want to go some kind of tough as hard as concrete?
Yeah, but the whole tilt up thing. She's not actually working the crane that tilts the thing up.
It's
she's in the office.
Well,
you know,
Adam, I'm not actually a douchebag.
I work with the team. Mm-hmm. I work with the.
She's short. What about that?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, thanks.
Let's see. I'm trying to get. She's Hawaiian and short. I'm trying to work the half pint pineapple kind of
that's
thing.
Cute. Half pint in itself is cute.
I love wine. I love wine. I love the vineyard.
Okay, anybody's.
Anybody's was cute.
Lush, boozer, anybody's is too. It's too long. I'm stumped. I like the short stack.
That's cute.
That is cute.
All right, let's just go with the basic short stack. I'm sorry. Like it's not. I wish I could work some pineapple.
I like short stack, and she's not actually Hawaiian anyway. She just looks it, right, Lise?
No, oh, wait a minute. You just look Hawaiian?
I just look Hawaiian.
Yeah. Oh, so it's not really your heritage?
No, it's not. Latin.
Short stack.
Latin.
Paquito stack.
Paquito burrito? Paquito stack.
Mija.
You're
so cute.
All right, let's go with Mija.
Okay.
That's the feminine of Mijo?
Uh-huh.
I'm guessing.
Pequeño del
probably means smelly vagina. And
that's
in
why they
Spanish.
Keep calling it to me. I thought it was a sweet thing.
No, it's not a term of endearment. Oh, that's why people yell at you when you cut them off.
I had no idea.
All right, mija.
Okay, well, thank you.
Hey, good
thank
times.
You. Adios, mija.
Oh, let's see. We got Lisa, another Lisa.
One.
Well, now, this one works at a prison as a locksmith.
Oh.
Hmm. Buster? Like Buster out? Or...
Yeah, Buster's cute.
Hey, Lisa?
No.
Good morning.
Yeah. I went to school with someone named Debbie Hyman.
Yeah, that's where I was going, Buster Hyman.
We used to call her Buster.
Absolutely, Buster Hyman.
Never loses its charm.
No, just as funny as it was in the ninth grade.
There's a lot of times.
Hey, Buster, Lisa?
Yes.
You work, what prison do you work at?
Corcoran State Prison.
Good times.
Hey, what about Kiki? Kiki.
Kiki. Oh, not bad.
Clever.
And what do you do? You work as a locksmith.
Yes, I do. I'm a locksmith out here where Charlie Manson's at.
Mm-hmm. And
a locksmith at a maximum security prison.
Wow. Do you think she's in a lot of guys' spank banks over there?
Well, now, here's the thing about the spank bank. I think... You know, she might not make people's top five out on the outside, but on the inside, that's a different segment of society there. Yeah, she may very well be. How do you describe yourself, Lisa?
I'm about 5'5", 135 pounds, 41 years old, green eyes.
Mm-hmm.
My tower guy calls me Chorizo.
Mm-hmm.
That's cute.
You got some Latin descent in you?
No, I do not.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see. How about the gatekeeper or something? Something that has to do with the keys or the locks or something like that. Do you have a bunch of keys? Do you jingle?
Oh, yes, I do. They know where I'm at every moment, and I wear pink all the time out here.
Mmm. Powder puffs, nice. Pink jingles. I like jingles. How about we'll go with jingles?
Very cute.
Yeah. You're wearing pink, you're heading down the hall, you're making the noise.
I think I was working too hard. Jingles is good.
Jingles is nice.
Very good.
It's easy.
I was thinking freedom, that kind of thing.
I'm also thinking about the guys that are locked up with nothing but a radio that want to enter jingles into the spank bank. It's just a better, easier, it's an easier name to focus on.
Right.
You know what I mean? You don't want some name like Big Ruthie. Yeah. That's not going to cut it in your spank bank. Jingles.
Jingles is cute.
No problemo.
I love that one.
All right, let's talk to Richard. Uh-oh.
This is a fun game.
Richard?
Yeah.
What do you got going?
I'm 24, just turned 24. 6'7", cable guy. My whole life, everyone took the shortcut and called me Dick.
Mm-hmm. And, right. Sure.
But huge dick at 6'7".
It's a good point. Right.
Yeah, that's the only cool thing about it, being a 6.5-foot dick.
It was also a wonderful bit, by the way, on my radio show in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Playing a game called How Big Is Your Dick?
Mm-hmm.
And we'd call some people from the phone book named Richard, and if they were over 6'2", and you said they were a big dick, you won.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have, cute little way to spend 3 minutes.
Sure. Yeah.
Right before the sticker stop.
3 minutes. I feel like we do 30 on that.
That's because we're smart. I sucked back then.
Hey, Richard?
Yeah.
You suck. Oh, wait, I didn't want to say the dick part again. Hey, Richard?
Yeah.
6'7".
Yeah.
Works for the cable company.
Yep.
What else do you do? What are your hobbies?
I work on my own cars, you know, kind of do it yourself as far as that, you know, do it yourself around the home.
Well, Dick, this is important. Are you like a lanky tall man or a stockier guy?
Lanky, very lanky. Mm.
But now, how about this? Now you're kind of a handyman, like to fiddle with cars, like to work around the house.
Yeah, exactly.
Hmm. Do you have a mustache?
No.
Could you grow one?
I could.
How about Schneider? You know, from the old...
Yeah, one day at a time.
One day at a time.
Cool.
Fiddling around. You'd have to grow the mustache. Do you think you could do that? You know, sometimes you got to work a little with these nicknames.
I might be able to pull that off.
I mean, you have your basic stretch.
Right. He's very lanky and 6'7".
And then you got your tiny, and then you got your at 6'7". Now remember, doorways are 6'8".
Right.
Yeah.
And have the little door stop that comes down half an inch. And then if you're wearing your lineman boots, that kicks you up about an inch and a half. So we could call you Duck.
Duck's cute.
I kind of like duck.
Duck.
If people think duck, quack, quack, but you're really duck.
Yeah.
Duck,
no, yeah. this is gold.
Duck
I
is kind of good. It's kind of like Crash. You know what I mean? It's just one of those good names. How about we call you Rich? Yeah, Richard Duck. Yeah, we'll just call you Duck.
I like it.
I like that.
Good.
I don't know why. It just flows. All right, we're going out on top with Duck. Dick Duck.
Or on the bottom.
I love Duck.
Yeah.
We have Duck, Jingles.
We need to take ourselves a break. I've decided either this is good or it's almost no work for me. Either way.
It's good.
I love
it's
it.
It's good. Well, no work for me is good. Let's keep this going.
Yeah.
I like this nickname business. We'll keep it going. We have some guys that are morbidly obese and some... got some chick who inspects melons. We got all kinds of good stuff. All right, we'll take a break. 866-901-ADAM. We'll give you a nickname next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser. You want a nickname? Ace is handing them out, so call 866-901-ADAM. Let's get back to Ace Carolla, the Dooch, and Sweet Tea on the Adam Carolla Show.
I like it.
Whole house cookies and sweet tea. All right, Kelly?
Yes?
What's going on with you, my dear?
I'm on my way to work at the Skagit River.
Skagit River's in Seattle?
It's in northern Washington.
Oh, so I'm way off. What do you do over there?
I'm a professional whitewater rafting guide.
Ah.
I knew one of them.
It's good times.
That's a great job.
It is a great job. I love it.
It's a good job until a couple of escape cons try to blend in with your group.
Kevin Bacon was in that.
Turns out later on, halfway into it, turns out to be the wildest ride of your life.
As long as I don't hear banjos, it's great. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, him and John C. Reilly hook up, trying to blend in, seeming pretty cool, even helping out at the beginning. But at a certain point, it takes a turn. It's up to you to stop them. So then they kidnap your daughter. Yeah. So except for you're lesbian, right?
No, I'm not.
Mm. Are you good looking?
Men. Hmm? I'm a pretty girl.
Mm-hmm.
What do you look like, Kelly?
I'm 5'5". I've got long. I've dyed my hair blood red, actually.
Ooh.
I'm very tan, obviously, because of my occupation. I'm out in the sun all the time.
Mm.
Definitely not a Jew.
Uh-huh.
Red hair and very tan.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of tattoos. I have a labret piercing.
Oh, aggressive piercings.
Eyebrow, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got on the day of your bat mitzvah.
I'm taking some of them out.
You know what? It's not that great because it doesn't face the piercings. But what I got, what I thought was, because I think they should be short and sweet nicknames. What about ink?
Ink. Yeah, but it seems like derivative of that show.
Yeah.
Seems like we're taking off the Miami ink and the
LA
ink.
No, that's derivative of a word. Hey, man, nice ink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They stole from us first.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. How about Mrs. Heatmiser with the red hair and the tan? Yeah, it's a little long.
But wait, Kelly, what's
your... Want to know what my river name is?
Yeah.
They call me Carnage.
Why?
Then you don't need a nickname with that.
Carnage is...
Carnage rocks!
Good name for TSV.
I flipped my head instructor, and then both times that my family's been rafting with me, I've dumped them out of my boat.
Mm.
So.
Oh, I got a nickname, Incest Survivor.
I like that. Have you been called that before?
That's horrible, no.
Well, just doing the aggressive piercings, crazy
tattoo,
lifestyle math, that's all.
Water rafting.
Dumping the family in the lake math, that's all.
Kelly, what's... fish are going to smell like
oops,
that.
I didn't mean to drown you, Daddy, but you touched me.
What's your nationality?
I'm a Yupik Eskimo.
Mm-hmm.
Pie.
Pie. Eskimo pie. Yeah. Nanook.
Blubber eater.
Let's see. Wow, this is tough. There's almost too much to work on here. How about River Torch?
River Torch.
I'm just picturing the red. I'm just picturing the red hair going down the river.
Torch.
Or river.
No, that's too superhero-y. Mrs. Heatmiser, the tats, the ink. You know what we need to do? We need to not focus on the red hair, the ink, or the river. We need to put it all into one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? One that just says extreme.
Maggie.
Yeah.
Maggie or Maggie May?
Maggie?
Red lips, hair, and fingernails.
Ooh, wait a second. I thought of one. It's kind of cool. I knew a horse by this name, Suicide.
Suicide?
Suicide Ross.
Kelly?
Yeah.
You know, that'll be a place saver.
That'll be a place saver.
Yeah, I mean, we'll keep Suicide until we get back with you and come up with something better. We got Hispanic, works security, loves music. Hmm. We got works as an EMT, off-road, snowboarding, Irish, Italian guy.
Ooh, body waxer.
Where's that?
Gina on line 3.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll be fast about this one. Gina?
Yes?
Your body waxer?
I sure am.
And you just got a boob job?
I did a few months ago.
You want to work on it during the commercial and come back?
Yeah. I'm going with Einstein, but we'll just keep that as a placeholder until we come back. Hey, Gina?
Yeah.
Hang on for a second. All you hang on, because we got an MMA fighter who's a construction worker.
Nice.
We got the guy who inspects melons. We got the guy who's 6'1 and 280 pounds and has an afro. Not sure if he's a brother or not. We got all that coming up. I'll tell you what. Quick nicknames when we come back. Then the news. All that next on the Adam Carolla Show.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Coming up this morning, actor-comedian Aisha Tyler. Some classic calls from the Crank Anchor's Vault. Voice artist Billy West. A spirited round of Will Angie Eat It. And Motley Crue's Nikki Six. Phone number is 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we have Bethica.
You need
it. How about we just go with a lame name? Hey, Bethica?
Hello?
What's your gig, baby doll?
I work for the lift team at a hospital, so my job is to help move the big patients and small patients.
Mm-hmm. So moving the lift team, hospitals have a lift team for patients that are oversized that need to go from the bed to the gurney or what have you.
Right.
And the lift team gets called in. By the way, there must be a certain shame when the lift team gets called in.
Yeah,
you know
like
what I mean?
The extender.
Like what you don't, the seatbelt extender. Yeah. Like when you go and sit down in your airplane seat and the stewardess goes, oh, hold on, and comes back, that's when you know it's time to diet. And when you're in the hospital and the nurse comes by and looks at you and then gets on the blower and goes, yeah, we got a code fat. I mean, blue or
whatever.
We got a fat ass over here. They're passed out. We can speak freely. Let's go.
We're in bed, except for one thing. My major surgery in the hospital, aside from broken bones, was a hydrocele, meaning they operated on my scrotum. And if they had called in the heavy lifting department, I'd have been so proud. I'm sorry, look at the size of that. We're going to need some help.
Yeah. We're going to need a fulcrum and a
jack. Place to stand.
That's right. Place to stand and move as Bonaducci's very sizable sack. Hey, Bethica. So you're on the lift team. I got a name for you.
Okay, good.
We will call you BJ. And people will say, BJ?
I know I will.
What the? And then you go, I'm on the lift team. That stands for Bottle Jack.
Ooh.
Nice.
Oh, cool.
Bethica, BJ,
I don't know if any girl wants to go by BJ.
No, you don't want BJ? I really like that one.
All right, let's see. How about Tiny Mite? Because you're strong, but you're gangly.
We actually don't have to lift people with our muscle. We use machines. Ooh. They're like cranes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little more humiliating for the oversized patients because you have to put a harness underneath them and hook them up.
You hook them up to like a cherry picker?
Yeah.
A cherry picker.
Cherry picker's not bad.
Just cherry.
CP.
Okay, I like that one.
Yeah, cherry picker's the thing you use to hoist an engine out of a truck. You just hook it up. It's got a jack on it. It makes a cradle, and you just start doing it. I imagine it's got wheels and like rolls under the bed, and then the top part hangs over them.
Yep.
Yeah, listen, you say to them, if they have a problem with it, if they're humiliated by this device, you go, no, it's the way they move baby whales into other tanks. Same thing. As a matter of fact, keep hitting them with water, boys.
Well, is there a special code so you don't actually have to humiliate the patients?
People generally have an idea. I mean, they don't expect people to be able to move them. We also have a mat that we put underneath them and blow up. To move them across the bed.
They usually do lard spill, aisle U.
Code red vine.
All right, so bottle jack, no good. Cherry picker.
I kind of like, or just cherry.
I like cherry.
How about cherry?
Cherry's Okay.
What do they call the hoist devices? Anyone ever called a cherry picker?
The cranes are called Arjos.
Arjos, what's that short for?
Arjo a fat pig?
No, Arjos is a company name that makes them.
No, but are they essentially cherry pickers?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'll go with cherry. That's I like good. Cherry. Sounds hot. Mm-hmm.
Bathica.
Lift Team sounds like an 80s action show.
It does.
Yeah. Stephen J. Canal presents Lift Team. When other teams can't lift it, you call in the Lift Team. And then there's that part where the hot chick goes, how do I contact the Lift Team? And you go, they'll contact you. They'll find you. When something heavy can't be moved, you call in the Lift Team.
Lift Ticket.
Lift Ticket. I play John Lift. Ex-Navy SEAL lifter guy. All right, listen, we're going to have to beat this out.
Let's move on to Gina.
Gina's the body waxer who got the boobs enlarged. Gina?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Gina Latina?
Yes.
From Pasadena?
Uh-huh.
Oh, you're fine.
You may be there already. Got the boob job.
I sure did.
Mm-hmm. And you're body waxer.
I'm a body waxer. I mainly do Brazilians for the girls.
Uh-huh. Mm. But yet you don't have a crazy Asian ethnicity.
No.
I thought everyone who did that kind of waxing was some crazy ethnicity.
They usually are, but I guess I just happen to be one of the very few.
And are you busy?
Yeah.
And how much of that area do you have to see when you're doing the Brazilian?
Oh, I see it. I see it all. I see with their legs over their head.
Yeah. Gina will tell you, they take your legs and basically pretzel them apart.
And what are they wearing?
Nothing.
Sometimes they give you these little cotton panties, these little, paper panties, actually.
Right.
You're embarrassed, but I usually just have them take it all off.
You're eye to eye with our uterus, basically.
Pretty much.
I always had this idea that a good gig, I mean, look, if you want to go the Tootsie route and get yourself a role on a soap opera, that would be fine, but putting on a fat suit, putting on a crazy Asian accent, getting yourself a job over at Pinky Cheeks, that would be the ultimate gig. Because you're just looking out in the waiting room and, there's Pam Anderson and there's the rest of the Baywatch kids and there's whoever hot chick du jour and they're all out there.
Carmen Electra actually has gone there because my friend works there.
There goes Carmen Electra and all you got, it's one of the gigs where, everything else, you got to be a physician and then you're getting into stuff and you're putting on gloves and, all that. This is just heating up the wax and letting the action ensue.
Although dudes go in there, yes?
Yeah, I've waxed a couple of dudes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute. What kind of waxing do you do for the dudes?
Boyzillion. That's what I
Boyzillion?
Oh, so that's mostly
for
gays.
I never heard
of that. For gays,
what's that
right?
look like?
What's it look like?
Yeah, I mean, what would you do? Like, what do they wear?
They have to be naked. I mean, pants off,
Okay, hold on. Let me just put this together. You're how old?
I'm 26.
26. You just got a boob job.
Uh-huh.
You're up, Danny's. Ooh, you're down. You're down.
Adam,
on,
this is radio.
You're down on all fours, sort of presenting.
Yeah.
Well, when you do the back or the butthole, you have to have them either get on. Style or
now you want that job, Adam? You want to think about it again?
The show has reached a new level.
The Lift Team.
We'll see.
If I worked at one of those Brazilian wax things, and I was the guy who was in the fat suit dressed as the Asian woman with the thick glasses that had the camera hooked up to it, and I thought, this is the greatest gig in the world. Yes. And then all of a sudden, Bill and his boy toy du jour pulled up into the waiting room, and it's like, you're 12:30s, Bill. He wants to get a boyzillion. I'd be like, oh, okay. Let me just head down to the basement, get some extra wax, and I would throw myself down the stairs. I would just literally throw myself down the stairs. So, oh, my God. Mitsuk has a compound fracture of her fibula. The bone is actually sticking. I'll be all right.
You're missing one important thing. If you get a famous client and you have that wax and you pull it out, you get the shroud of sphincter.
And on the eBay, that'll fetch more than Barry Bonds' ball. You know what I'm talking about.
I do now.
So, let me just do some of this math again. So, you're 26.
Uh-huh.
You just got a boob job.
Yeah, and I'm pretty hot, I think.
You're pretty hot, and you're probably one of those chicks who went up to a D.
Yeah.
Shocking. Shocking how much I know. What's that?
I said 34D.
34D. Okay, so I'm going in there for the boyzillion.
Yeah.
I got 26-year-old hot blonde Gina.
Yeah.
Gina's got the fresh set of 34Ds poking out of the tight shirt. I got my pants off. She's dumping the hot, waxy goo around the junk. How long before wood is sprung?
You wouldn't get wood once that...
So delicate. Oh, we got something beeped out there. Hey, Gina?
Yeah?
Are most of the guys you work on gay?
No.
No, they straight guys manscape now.
But,
look, I understand trimming a little back hair, but the boyzillion?
It's a gay thing.
It's gay or straight porn?
Are they in
porn?
Gay?
No, they're just straight guys that are married and have girlfriends.
Okay.
And they just want to be clean.
Please don't dump me on this, because this is a real question. If you do dump me, that's all right. I won't get mad, but this is reasonable. A new thing happening with women these days is... backdoor bleaching, so they'll all be one color. Have you done that with men yet? Have you
Not with men. No, not with men. Women mainly do it.
How about something classy for her and short, since she does the Brazilians? Rio.
Rio.
Oh, I like that.
All right. Yeah. Bald Brian.
And you can blame it on her, too.
How about that, Gina? How about we call you Rio?
Rio?
Yeah.
Okay.
Brazilian.
Real Brazilian?
It's a place in Brazil.
Yeah, we got you stupid.
When my baby smiles at me.
Tell her Brazil's a country.
I get a blank look.
Hey, Rio?
Yeah?
Rio stupid?
Hey.
All right, Gina. Veal and venison.
Oh, no.
What is veal? What is venison?
What is what?
Veal.
What animal?
What animal is veal?
Oh, veal isn't it, what do you call it? Jeez, I can't even think right now.
I know. On the spot.
Very unusual.
How about venison?
Venison?
Mm-hmm.
That's for my name, my nickname.
Hey, she's a sweet deer.
I just don't
venison. Coming to stage four. Sharpen your antlers, venison coming to stage four. You may want to put a little pregnant mare musk on you so she's attracted to you. All right, hold on. Hey, Gina?
Wow.
L.A. Unified School District?
Huh?
Did you go to school out here in L.A.?
No, I actually was homeschooled. For high school.
Really?
Homeschooled by a family of raccoon? Who did the homeschooling? Who do I sue?
San Fernando.
You were home? You grew up in San Fernando?
Yeah, in the valley.
Who taught you? Your mom and dad?
No. It was a school I went to, but it was like I only went once a week. And
Maybe twice would have been better.
All right.
2 to 3 days.
All right, baby.
Yeah, I'm making $50 an hour doing those.
Yeah, you make a lot. You make a lot in tips, right?
You pull pubes out of people.
I love it, though. I get to see vaginas, and it's not ugly ones. It's nice ones and penises.
Let's call her Marie Curie.
You know what? It's a decent, it's a decent point. You're not, look, when you have a gig, where you're working as a gynecologist, you get to see a lot of parts, but you get to see a lot of parts on a lot of old women who have a lot of problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, as a doctor, you see a lot of parts, but they've been run over or the person's in their 90s. Gina is looking at the cream of the crop.
Right.
There's nobody who's 250 pounds and looks horrible in a bathing suit who's going in for the Brazilian. That's the last of their worries. Gina looks at more hot chicks than a photographer for Playboy.
Yeah.
Yes, Gina?
Yeah, that's true.
All right.
Aren't you straight, though?
Yeah, I'm married.
Hey, Gina?
Yeah?
I'd like you how about you come in and give Danny a boyzillion?
I will do that if he lets me. I'll do it.
He will.
There's a slight problem.
Okay.
What?
I don't have a lot of hair anymore, remember, guys?
How about what you doing back?
How about back and in?
I'll just do it just to do it. I don't even have to have hair.
What about the bleaching?
Fine.
Now, you better bring extra bleach because Danny's anus smokes.
Well, he has never actually seen it smoke. He has seen the nicotine stains on my underwear.
Does it smoke?
One.
But I'll tell you what. I mean, I will absolutely happily be bleached, waxed, whatever makes me cuter and yummier.
When Danny says he's wearing the nicotine patch, he doesn't mean to get the nicotine. He means to block the anus.
No, I actually mean a patch that I made myself organically.
To get out.
Patch that he uses over the anus. All right, hey, Gina, we're going to put you on hold.
Yeah, I want that.
Yeah, yeah, we need to.
But when do we start calling her Rio?
I want to climb up right on that counter right there with my ass in the air and have Rio go at it.
This is going to be good. All right, Gina, hang on a second. I mean, Rio.
You know what's funny, Adam? I went out and I did that paintball thing with that other radio station. They sent some intern guy named Danny, and he was rude. And we have tape of it. I get mad at him and tell him I'm going to kick his ass. And I get all really like serious about it. And he goes, you know, I'm not just some stunt boy we send out on the street. Yet I am. I'm up there in the middle of nowhere playing paintball with guys I don't know, and nobody even cares. My team won $5,000. We killed them.
Oh, you did?
Oh, my team was so good. Our best shot quit and let my daughter play, my 12-year-old, and we still
really? Killed
them. Yeah. So they won $5,000, but I get mad at this guy, and he refers, he said, I'm not some stunt boy we have on the radio show, and I took exception, and you'll hear me on the table go, how am I going to beat your ass as a stunt boy? I mean, I got, you know me, little Napoleon.
Right.
And I just realized I had an old lady shave me. I'm now about to get up on all fours and get my sphincter waxed. I'm the stunt boy.
I think the bleaching will be your Waterloo.
You know what? Not a chance, baby. First of all, you die at Waterloo because you freeze. There's no other reason.
You know, that gig that she has.
Yeah.
You know, they're jobs that are sexy and they're jobs that are intimate, and then they're the ones that sort of cross the line.
Yeah.
This one may, especially when it starts getting into the backside and the nether regions.
Let me tell you, they chat you up because I had this Korean woman that used to wax me before I got lasered, and she had a long conversation with me because she was confused why I'd want to take the hair off. She said in Korea, having a lot of hair down there is considered very, very sexy.
Right.
This is an entire conversation about my pubes.
No!
Let's move on and just let's get rid of them. I don't need to have a chat.
Yeah, and also, why are you driving business away?
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, if you do LASIK surgery for a living, you don't go, who reads? You don't need to read.
You need to see signs.
Yeah. Why would you drive at night?
Well, she wanted
Every
me to break it down.
Every place is open during the day.
I had to break it down, and then I was confused.
But the point is, you had a ethnicity
yes.
that made it okay.
Right.
Nobody really wants to admit this, but a lot of folks, when you're having them work on you, let's put it this way. If your girlfriend or wife has a gynecologist
yeah.
and someone says, it's a dude. Right. Oh, really? What about him? A white guy. Yeah. Late 30s, early 40s, nice looking guy.
Right.
He played a little college football.
He's
you're pissed.
Yeah.
You're pissed. If they tell you, she's a woman in her 70s, I think she's Indian, but I don't even know because her accent is so thick, you're like, have at it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a weird thing. When people get intimate, what you want is furthest away from you or furthest away from your culture
right.
or furthest away from what they might be attracted to or you might be attracted to. If you're going to have, if I'm going to have someone dive into my pube patch, I don't want it to be a guy who's my age, who's my skin color, who's like, oh, Rams fan. Up top.
Down low.
Down low. Go Rams. No, you want
to hear go Ram.
You want some guy who's like Tongan or something,
right.
like some culture where you don't even know what it is. They eat a root. They don't speak any language, you know, that you're aware of. You have no, it's like, who's this person going to tell? Who's this
right.
person ever going to run across? You think they're going to run into a friend of mine, you know, the following night at a dinner party and tell them how hairy my crotch is? It's
yes.
never going to. That's what you want.
You don't want to hear. Man show?
And for me, honestly, I don't think there is anyone alive that has not seen all my junk just for fun.
We'll
so
be back.
I don't have that fear.
All right, Robbie?
Yeah.
You're 6'1", you're 280, you have an afro.
Yep.
And what do you do for a living?
I build water pumps.
And you are what ethnicity?
Mexican.
An afro.
How about me, fro? You know what I mean? Because you got the Mexican part, you got the mijo, but you got the fro. You can't go Jew fro. Can't go bro fro. How about me, fro?
I like that.
It's a little bumpy.
I like it.
Mexifro. Now, Mexifro sounds like an antidepressant.
I think I'm on it.
He's on Mexifro. Are you on Mexifro?
I take a half of Mexifro, you know, when I'm feeling off.
Bottle of Jameson's just to get you back on track.
Wash it down.
My brother takes a Mexifro the size of a baby aspirin, and he's pretty crazy. My Mexifro's the size of a quarter. Makes me very nervous.
The more you Lexapro. Mefro. All right, let's try Mefro. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be back with the news. T, what's in it?
Oh, a very inspiring story about football that you're going to want to hear. And if you miss the new show, Anchorwoman, I'll have some highlights.
Oh, I think we just spoke to her.
Yeah, and I think so, too.
Let me just say something real quick about all the homeschooling and the alternative schooling and all this bull crap. Here's what happens, because it happened to me to some degree, it happened to my sister to a larger degree, and it happened to a lot of other people that I knew. There's a lot of people that are horrible students. They're not disciplined. They don't study. They don't do well with structure. So the solution is, instead of give them more structure and give them more discipline, we go, well, let's just put them in an environment where they'll flourish. That's called outside. That's called in shorts outside smoking. Right. So they set up alternative schools. Yes, it's an alternative to learning. It's an alternative school.
That's what your dad taught me.
Right. Yeah, I wish they had alternative work for these guys to get into after their alternative schooling.
Yeah.
Alternative to work? Well, staying at home and masturbating and collecting a check. That's right. Alternative work. If there was such a thing as alternative work, I would be into alternative schooling. Alternative schooling is this. Well, you don't show up from 8 until 3. You show up at noon and you leave around 1:30 and you get to go to Taco Bell and smoke cigarettes during the lunch break and you call your teacher Bert and Sandy and Fran. Why? You go have no discipline. You like to smoke and you don't like to study. Fantastic. We'll give you a fake piece of paper that says you graduated from nowhere, and then you can go attempt to join society, which has been going to school.
How dare you
do when your 7 a.m. job starts and your alarm goes off at 6 and your boss yells at you the first day you show up 15 minutes late. See how you do with your alternative work. And if not alternative work, then how about alternative home working, homeschooling? Because this is another thing. I can't handle it. My kid can't cut it at school. Well, I'll teach him at home. It'll be one day a week, and he'll watch SpongeBob until he falls asleep onto his bong. Fantastic. That's great if the kid never left the house. It'd be great if there was alternative work, but there isn't. There's real life. That's why if your kid's crappy, you got to get them a tutor, or you have to force them to work harder, not make things easier. You see, when someone says, oh, I'm weak, I'm lazy, I'm undisciplined, I can't handle authority, the answer is not to remove authority. The answer is more authority until you break the person until they can fit in. Thank you. Machnow. We'll take a quick break. Back with the news next.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
Leonardo DiCaprio's important new role has nothing to do with acting at 11.
Another great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, before we get to news, just a quick thought about our society and the decay of it. I was thinking, you know, when did this become okay, guys? Getting the Brazilian and the sack whack and...
Brazilian.
What is it called?
I don't know. Boyzilian.
Oh.
But Brazilian is better.
Oh, all right.
But the metrosexual thing, but even a step further, like I was telling you, the boys took me to that spa, Bodo. Yeah. And they had... It was great, I'll tell you that, but it would never occur to me. But I thought, how can I make these guys think that this was a good idea to let me do this free? And I said, well, I'm really good friends with Ryan Seacrest and Mario Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they'll come here. And in all honesty, I think they would. They do the facial things. Lynn got a facial, pedicures, all of that, big massages. I think there's a kind of guy that is very, very comfortable with that. And I think a lot of them are straight.
Well, that's not my question.
What is your question?
My question is... I was thinking during the commercial, when did this become okay? I mean, why did this become okay? Or where's the necessity? Yeah. The guy's getting the Brazilian wax. I got to write that one down.
It's good.
Tanned, spray tanned, teeth whitened, highlights. Eyebrows plucked, highlights. I mean, These are all the things you do on a chick. You're just doing it on something with
on
a penis.
A chick.
Yes,
right.
You're taking care of the skin. You're getting the pedicure. You're getting the manicure. You're getting the teeth whitened. You're getting the plucked and the preening and the whole thing. When did this become okay? And then why is it necessary? You see, things evolve for a reason. Well, we're becoming more attractive to women. But then I think about it. I thought women were into intellect and bank and wallet and making them laugh. There used to be a day when a woman like, look, I don't care that the guy's bald and has a huge schnoz. He's a great writer.
Right. Marilyn Monroe married Arthur Miller.
That's right.
That went well.
He writes those books, and it's kept at those places where they hide the books.
Library.
The library.
Well, he writes plays.
The point is, women were formerly attracted to guys that relied on their intellect, guys that relied on being a jack of all trade or a renaissance man.
Yeah.
Hey, this guy can fight. This guy can write. He can create poetry and blah, blah, blah. Well, that had nothing to do with getting the sack waxed.
Right.
No, it sure didn't.
Now, women are getting dumber.
Okay.
And as women get dumber, they're no longer attracted to a guy's intellect. Why? Dumb. They're dumb. The chick we were just talking about.
That was troubling.
She's stupid.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter how smart you are or how great you are with the poems. That's neither here nor there. She wants to see some white teeth and a plucked brow and some frosted tips and some big guns. That's what she's attracted to. Spray on tan.
Yeah.
The dumber you are, the more visually whatever you are. And I think women may be getting dumber. Thus, guys, forget about working on your mind. Start waxing the behind.
Right.
That's what's going to get you laid. The more you know. I'm going to tell my son. If I see my 9-year-old son, like, reading a book, I'll slap it right out of his hand. Son, start doing some push-ups while daddy spray tans you. You want to get laid, don't you?
Well, what if women aren't getting dumber? What if we're getting smarter, and thus more of us are entering the workforce, so men are becoming ornamentalized? Now they have to be pretty. They have to be prettier and have white teeth and tan because we're entering the workforce.
So we're becoming them.
Right.
Yes.
We're crossing.
When we're talking about the crossing, now we're going to... So you're saying, like...
We're getting smarter.
So you're saying my son, in his marriage, is going to see...
That's all I had. I had nothing.
Bald Brian. No, that's an interesting observation.
Oh, yeah.
And eventually, 200 years from now, the woman's going to be pulling up the driveway, smoking a cigar, and my great-grandson's going to be fixing his hair
and rushing
to the door wearing a negligee and holding a martini.
It better be cold.
Oh, fantastic. All right. Well, you guys better start earning more than 70% of
what we make.
Otherwise, we're all going to be screwed because you're going to be the only breadwinner. It's going to be funny when women are the only gender that's working and you're still making 70% of what we make.
And we're out of work and not making anything.
Mm.
You're negative 70 cents an hour.
We need to move to the news, T.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
We'll probably never know how many dogs died at the hands of Michael Vick and his alleged pit bull fighting enterprise, but we do know that today the canine death toll will probably jump by 53. That's how many pit bulls federal agents seized from Vick's so-called bad news kennels in Virginia back in April. Those dogs are being held in various shelters, but the deadline for someone to claim them is today. And let's face it, no one's going to claim those dogs. So it looks like today, 53
of the pit bulls. Wait a minute. How about that poor family whose dogs got out for the 55th time and then mauled the neighbor when they went through the doggy door? And no, not the attorney.
Oh, different one.
Though this just happened. Chick was all over CNN this morning. Scars all over her faces. Remember the story? It's about 2 days old. The woman was just sleeping in bed and the dogs came in through the doggy doors.
Yeah.
Those poor people
need dogs.
Those dogs are going to be destroyed.
They will be without
vicious pit bulls.
Right.
What about the pit bull that attacked the mailman out here locally just the other day?
Yeah.
That dog may be destroyed. That retarded owner's going to be without a pit bull to maul. Who's going to do the mauling in the future? These people are so effing retarded, these pit bull owners.
Go to the mall. You'll have to make an appointment.
To
go there, I need to get mauled.
the owners of these pit bulls with their 3.5 foot fences and their vicious dogs and their repeated warnings, they need to be put down.
Right.
I would love to do that. I would like, here's the society I'd like to do. You have two pit bulls.
Yeah.
You've been warned repeatedly and gotten citations and summonses and everything else because your pit bulls are getting out and terrorizing the neighborhood. Well, now they got out. They went into a woman's house through the doggy door in the middle of the night, like 4 a.m., and they mauled her in her bed. Yep. She's clinging to life. Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to contact the owners and go, look, we're going to have your dogs destroyed. Would you like to come down to the kennel and say goodbye to them? And they go, well, all right. And they come down there in their slippers and triple X shirts. And they head down and we let them say goodbye to the dogs. And then we go, oh, we got one more piece of bad news. You're going down too.
Yeah, we got to lay down.
Now, we can give you a nice shot, make it humane, or... I got a sidearm here. Any way you want to play. And we just put the owners down, too.
I like it.
Zero problem with that. What are they contributing to society?
Right after and my shroud of sphincter, I think that you putting them down on the spot, we've come with some fine ideas today.
Yeah. Brazilian. Really a fountain of intrigue.
Font of knowledge and ideas.
I cannot wait. I'm very excited about that.
Well,
but I bet we can't put it up on the website.
Well, we can blur it.
Shirt from an angle or something?
Mm-hmm. We'll blur it.
Okay.
Well, speaking of a-holes, this guy in Russia, a man in Russia kept having affairs on his wife.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, property costs in Moscow are very, very high. So this couple were divorced in 2003. They had to cohabitate because they couldn't afford not to.
Right.
Well, you know, after 19 years together... Obviously, there was a lot of built-up resentment and tension. He had cheated. So here they are living together. No one can afford to move out. They're in a small, small condo. Finally, this week, the situation exploded. Nikolai sat naked, watching what are described as erotic films on TV and drinking himself a little vodka.
Mm.
His ex-wife slash roommate ran up, spilled the vodka onto his naked lap, and set his junk on fire.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
He said, quote, it was monstrously painful. I don't know what I did to deserve this. I was like burning like a torch.
Yeah.
He had burns on 30% of his body, including his stomach, left arm, and groin. And a police spokesman says it's difficult to predict whether Nikolai will make a full recovery. Anna, the wife, is looking up to 3 years in prison.
Mm.
That's it? 3 years? He set that junk on fire?
Mm.
She poured the vodka and set it on fire.
If he'd had the Brazilian, there would have been nothing to burn.
Plus, that's there. Like a,
no kindling?
Clear cutting, they call it.
For me, that's a year an inch. That's a lot of time.
Yeah.
You know, if you got a small
for
one.
For you, that's a year an inch.
Yeah, I've been blessed in other ways, but still, no matter how big it is, you should go to jail for the rest of your life. You set a guy's wang on fire.
Well, she may argue she accidentally spilled the vodka.
My junk caught on fire once, and I never caught the guy. They never knew what happened. They thought either lightning strike or kids playing with fireworks.
Yeah, they didn't know what happened.
We never got to the bottom of it.
Maybe arson.
Your guy will never get my defense. So. There is no way to hit mine by accident. You have to aim. And strike matches like exactly right on it. Or you're not going
to
get it.
Well, should we go to break and do more news later? Or should I press on?
Press on, because we have Aisha Tyler waiting out there.
Ah, okay. Well, let me get to this football story.
Mm-hmm.
I love this story. In 1969, 21-year-old Mike Flint enrolled at Sul Ross State University in Western Texas. That's now a D3 school.
Mm-hmm.
He was there for 2 years, a linebacker on their football team.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, they were NAIA. Now they're D3. Mm-hmm. I don't know what NAIA is. I was hoping you would.
I'm pretty sure I'm a member of that group and I have to give something up.
Right.
All right. Yeah.
But now they're D3. So he was a linebacker before his senior year in 1971. He was kicked off the team for getting into a fight.
Mm-hmm.
He's now 59. A few months ago, he was sitting around with his buddies from the team talking about their biggest regrets. And, of course, his was getting thrown off the team. So one of his friends said, you know, if it bothers you that much, why don't you do something about it? He did. With 1 year of athletic eligibility left, because you remember he was kicked out with a year to go, he re-enrolled in school and went out for the football team. Here's the amazing part. Yesterday, his coach announced he was good enough to make the team and he may even play in their opening game on September 1st against Texas Lutheran.
Yeah, that's not he's good enough to make the team. That's we're so effing awful. He made the team. You got to cut that guy just because you either kept him because he's a novelty and everyone knows it,
right,
or you guys are just so bad and uncompetitive that a six-year-old guy can make your team. Either way, it's lose-lose if you're the coach.
Well, they say he's in great shape. He's 8 years older than his coach.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got two kids older than any of his teammates. So, you know, at the very least, it'll be fun to see this 59-year-old guy living out his dreams.
Yeah, it'll be great watching Grandpa get a compound fracture out in the field.
And lastly, a swimsuit model got to live out her dreams. She's on a new show called Anchor Woman, a Fox reality show.
People are officially angry about this show.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
She's a former swimsuit model and WWE diva, Lauren Jones.
Wonder if she knows where Rio is.
Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
She's also Rio stupid, as you said to the last one. And she tries to be an anchor woman on a local affiliate in Texas. So there's a woman there who's already the anchor of the 5 o'clock news, and she's fancies herself a journalist as opposed to this blonde former swimsuit model. First, let's hear Lauren practice on the teleprompter.
Welcome to this Sunday edition of Eyewitness News. I'm Michelle I'm Lauren Jones, and thank you for joining us. Sorry, it's like going up. Encore area manager Charles Hill says, back off, Chris. I can't see. They're rolling up so fast. I'm sorry. It's just going fast. Do I say bad weather? Bad weather.
No.
Gunshots ring out at a Tyler nightclub. There's nightclubs here?
Oh, my God.
The storms are being blamed for at least one death in Texas. That's sad. What'd I do?
No commentary.
Okay. Did I commentary?
Yes, you did.
I don't remember commentating. Oh, well, I didn't commentate.
You shut the up and read.
She may have been apartment schooled, which is the only thing lower than homeschooled is apartment schooled.
I think
loft
so.
Loft schooling.
Well, yeah. Do you want to hear from the rather bitter woman who was the anchor?
No. Okay, quickly, because we have the real deal. We have beautiful and super smart.
Yes.
Aisha Tyler waiting.
If I wanted to be a model, I could have went and been a model, Dan. It's not a big deal. I mean, it doesn't take much. Now with photo refinishing, you could touch up anything these days. But no, I'm a journalist, and I don't want anyone to mix me up with a swimsuit model. A swimsuit model fills in Annalisa Petrella's shoes? Is that what we're telling our viewers? That I'm a swimsuit model, too?
I am good at three things. Fighting, screwing, and reading the news.
You know, Anna Maria Alberghetti sounds like a bit of a blowhard, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like either one of them.
And her grammar wasn't as...
No, she wasn't.
I like her point, though.
Yeah.
You could take a picture of a sofa now and make it into a swimsuit model
right,
with today's powerful computers. Yeah, still better to take a picture of a hot chick at the beginning, though. It's less work for the computer.
I also could have went and gone and been a model. But instead, I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. Do you, CNN?
Beautiful, beautiful Nubian princess, Aisha Tyler, is in here. We will bring her in next on the Adam Carolla Show.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser.
I like being married a lot. My husband is a really nice guy, and he's really against spanking. You know, he's always going on and on about it, you know, like, oh, you don't need violence to discipline your child. There are other ways besides spanking. You can give him a timeout. Timeout! Timeout! So I finally promised him. I was like, okay, maybe I promise you I'll never spank, but now I think he's kind of pissed because when we have sex, I don't spank him anymore. Just make him stand naked in the corner and think about what he's done.
From the new movie Balls of Fury, Aisha Tyler on the Adam Carolla Show.
Twice ranked on Maxim's Hot 100, by the way.
Three times, my friend. Three times.
Really?
Hey, don't be shy, though.
Bring it.
Right on.
Now, the years you weren't ranked, did you think, what gives?
Absolutely. And, in fact, one year I thought I needed to get, like, a lead pipe out and take a couple of those broads out so I could move up on the list. I was like, what the hell?
Smart, yeah.
Do
a glully on their ass.
Right, right. Sets the Polaroids in.
I also see here brews her own beer.
We haven't done it in a while, but like when I was 20, when I got like graduated from college, it was like an awesome cheap way to get a lot of beer. $20 would make you like a keg of beer.
See, I feel like I don't have time to wait for the fermentation process.
You have to be patient.
Like I want a beer, I want it in the next 3 weeks. Let's say I don't have 4 months to wait for the beer.
I used to cook my own meth and same thing, man.
Is it cheaper to do it that way?
Oh, so much cheaper. I mean, think about like how I don't even know how much a keg costs now to like get at the store, but you could make, you can essentially make it like in a giant jelly jar in your closet for like literally the ingredients are like $15.
But then and it blows up every third
never,
time,
never
right?
Explodes. It never, never explodes. Happened? We've never had beer explode. And also, if you were creative enough to make a kegerator, which is essentially get like an old fridge
right.
and you tap the door and then you just keep the beer and it's just always cold and you have like a tap in your, honestly, you're like a rock star
right,
with a kegerator
let me,
in your house.
Can I say
if people
this?
Walked into the room and said, I want to tap that, you weren't necessarily offended?
I wouldn't take it the wrong way
right
at all.
On. All right.
Even
well,
if that wasn't how he meant it.
Maybe you'll be offended by this racial stereotype.
Bring
when
it
I,
on.
When wow. I when somebody says, hey, man, this person has brewed their own beer, I'm looking for huge calves, white guy with red pork chop sideburns.
Sure, maybe a nice Kentucky waterfall.
Wearing the socks. Yeah, wearing the socks that can't fit over his calves. His calves are so big. I don't want the slender, beautiful black chick in the homebrew. I want you guys for other things.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm
but
nervous.
If you think about it, I'm like the perfect wife because I am the slender black chick and I brew the beer and I played the Xbox and I was on Maximum Top One.
I think most men have
times.
Already put you in the category of a perfect wife.
Yeah, perfect.
You
don't want to marry
monogamy.
The guy with the Kentucky waterfall and the giant calves.
What is the Kentucky waterfall?
Oh, funny. Business in the front, party in the back.
I got
it's,
it.
It's
I got
a fancier word for mullet.
Oh, yeah, I got a million of them.
How do you feel about
Tennessee neck skirt?
How do you feel about monogamy?
Unfortunately, I committed to it a long time ago, and I got
how long?
No, the fact that you committed to it and you do it just makes you a decent human being.
Thank you. I try.
The concept of monogamy.
The concept
do you
of
think
monogamy?
It's a good idea? Or do you think it's anti-nature?
Well, I think it's probably anti-nature. But I think
I'm in love and I'd like to roll around on the ground with you right now.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. I'll take that as a compliment.
Thank you.
Even as I try to erase the visual from my brain right now
you
with
can't.
My mind
no,
eraser.
It
yes, it's not working. Oh, God.
Yeah.
So
when
unclean.
I say three of us, I mean me
so
and my
unclean.
Genitalia.
That would leave you with only one testicle if we all count the four of you. So some terrible
I'm not
going
to bust out my abacus to tally up my sack.
I used to went to Dartmouth.
I know. Yeah. Here's what I like about Aisha.
So expensive.
I think you get to, well, your husband's obviously a lucky man because what you have with Aisha, I mean, here's what you want. Everyone wants to marry a beautiful woman. But they don't want the ditzy chick who's doing the newswoman tryout because everyone rolls their eyes when the bleach blonde comes into the room. What you get with Aisha is you do get the beautiful woman, but then you get the smart woman. Then you got this sort of mixed ethnicity thing, which says, I'm cool. Do you know what I mean? You get that Bill Maher type street cred says, I'm wide open.
Wait, you're guessing
man,
your
I don't
husband
judge.
Is white.
I'm guessing.
We don't know.
Well, he knows that he is white. Yeah, see, my husband is white. Irish Catholic guy. Big old white boy.
And now throw in that she's home brewing beer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm a Xbox murderer. I got all kinds of skills.
Oh, no. Mm.
All my guy friends are like, man, it'd be so great if my wife would let me play Xbox. I'm like, my husband and I, that's like our nightly activity
sports?
Is Xbox.
Sports fan?
You know, I love sports. I don't love it as much as I love Xbox, but I do love sports.
But
Are we in love?
You
that's
don't,
beautiful.
You don't have kids.
No,
do you,
I don't have kids.
Do you want kids?
I feel like they would cut into my Xbox time. That's my general feeling.
You could
on
put a kid on your lap while you play.
And then eventually they'd get big enough to want to take the controller away, and then we'd fight.
See,
and it'd be violence,
I don't want
you know?
Kids either, but if I refuse to have kids, I would have an Xbox, too. It would be my wife. I would be known as my Xbox.
Yeah. Your Xbox,
she
yes, exactly.
wanted kids, and
then
she would be referred to
Xbox.
As my Xbox.
Yeah, right.
I like
that.
And I wouldn't
I like
be able
kids.
To play with the Xbox.
Kids are cool.
Anymore.
You know?
No joystick.
No joystick.
Not with that Xbox.
No vibrating controller for you.
Not with that Xbox.
No,
everyone
like
should
now.
Refer to their ex.
As their Xbox.
I like it.
That's
well,
cute.
If it's a female.
It's playful.
Yeah. So, Aisha, you don't want... Now, is that because you're smart? Or is that because you're driven and a career woman? Or, as I suspect... Selfish.
I vote for a potpourri of the three.
Mm-hmm.
No, I love kids. I think they're awesome. Like, I like to hang out with them and stuff. It's just like the poop and stuff. I'm not particularly interested in touching poop. And also, I mean, it seems like a good idea kind of in the abstract, but it's apparently a lot of work. I don't know anybody who's a parent.
Well, ultimately.
A lot of work. Yeah.
12-year-old, 6-year-old, 12-year-old.
Brutal.
Going crazy and riding and hates everything. They
right.
wait to be mad at you
right.
for
and
no
I
reason.
Remember being a teenager and I was furious. I was completely enraged for like 8 years.
Hey, you know, but there's a few things. First off, you can throw money at the problem. That's
true.
What
you can
I
always do.
Do
that. Hire other people to deal with it when you don't want to deal with
it. I've said it once, I'll say it again. I walk through the front door when I come home from work. I have one of those air cannons that they fire the t-shirts at the Lakers game with, yeah, stuffed filled with 20s.
Excellent.
And I walk in the front door and I point it at the nanny.
Right.
Boom.
Knock
I fire,
back.
Fire
she's
my
got
first
a big,
salve.
She's got a big chest bruise.
Blow her,
she's on the ground.
Blow right into the wall. The picture lands her head. Then I fire a shot at my wife. Then I go out in the yard and I just fire one in the air.
Just
right.
Just for good luck.
Does anyone, pool man, gardener, right, anyone who's right around, wants to, wants
someone
to get
who's
in
approaching
on that
the door, just stop them in their tracks.
I just fire, and then I fire it at my two twins. It's
there
just one
go
blast for the kid, one right for the boy, the other for the girl. And
how
then I go
twins
and I watch. I don't even know.
I do.
Wait,
they could be
ASA.
They could be in their teens. They could be newborns.
They could be
I don't
four,
know.
No
I've,
idea.
I'm deaf and blind
months
from the air cannon, and then I just go watch TiVo and lock the door.
That sounds like a beautiful evening.
Thank you.
Beautiful evening.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I may wake up one day, like around 55, and be like, well, I'm not doing
well,
it. But then, you know,
like,
I'll just go, you know, buy a house in the island somewhere
are you,
roll
you,
around in a pile full of money.
We were talking about this earlier in the morning. Do you have a little, don't take this the wrong way, but do you have a little gay man in you? Like, there's a part of you that's yes a little, hey, man, I'm living for me. Like, I want to do my thing. I'm not judging, because I think we all have this in us.
The Tiny
Aisha
Boy
Tyler,
man.
I mean, here's the deal with Aisha.
Again, another visual I'm trying to erase
Aisha
from the frame.
Aisha Tyler, smart, beautiful, in the prime, career, gets to do what she wants. Husband, if you and your husband want to go on a vacation, pow.
We can
nobody
go
has to watch the
true
kids, drop the dog at the kennel,
no,
and hit the road.
None of that.
And you get to do what you want to do, and there's a kind of a little selfish part that I think gay men have, where they go, I want to do what I want to do. I want to drive my sports car.
Well, you know, I mean, we have a lot of, actually, a couple of really good friends who are married gay couples who have kids who've kind of, like, gone that rock star way. I feel like I have more of, like, a 20-year-old heterosexual guy deep down inside who just right wants to kind of, like, sleep late and drink beers on a, you know, on like, a Tuesday
right
morning and play
yeah
Xbox, you know? I mean, I don't know that this is, like, the mature thing to admit, but I'm definitely stuck in college mode, and I like that. I mean, mm-hmm, you know, I get to spend the money I make on the things I want, and I like being married. My husband's my best friend, and we hang, and I'm still friends with all the guys I was friends with. I just went to a bachelor party. My best friend from grade school is getting married in 2 weeks, and we've been friends since we were, like, 13, so
hold
I got
on
to be the best
guy
man.
A
yeah
guy?
I'm the best person at his wedding, which was awesome, because it was all guys I've known since that for, like, 20 years, like, since I was a little kid.
And it was
rocking. I was the best person everywhere.
Including my wife. You'd have been the best person at my wedding.
Isn't that kind of a wood killer for the other guys at the bachelor party?
Well, you know, a lot of these guys are in their late 30s, and their wood's been dead for a long time now. So
it's a wood
yeah
maker.
They loved it. They loved it because it was like, if I hadn't been there, they would have been like rolling in a pool of their own vomit for 3 days. But
well,
as it was, they got fed, right? There was activities. Right. I kept the beer flowing.
It's
they didn't
nice
run out
to
of
have
booze.
I like,
there.
I like yes that. Talking to Aisha Tyler, by the way, Balls of Fury is the name of her next movie in theaters next Wednesday, August 29th. The thing about the bachelor party, you're a beautiful woman and would seem like a plus to have at a bachelor party, but we're probably not going to have sex.
No, and I'm not stripping either.
And you're I'll not beat, stripping.
I'll beat the crap out of you.
All you are is a little. All you are is a little camcorder that's hiding behind eyeballs,
but
a conduit to the outside world.
I don't
world
do that, though. I mean, the guys all know me, and they know that I don't do that. I do not watch you writhe on the floor in your own bile
but
and then tell. I don't do that.
Me and the stripper want to do around the world and
go nuts. Go. It would
I think
be a,
she
it's
puts
a beautiful
it in a lockbox.
It's all.
Like
it's
a
in
cheer
a lockbox forever. Yes. Go nuts.
Go
and all the guys
nuts
were like, I don't know. How do you feel about it? I was like, dude, go nuts. Just please, if you catch something, don't wipe it on me when I'm not watching.
All right.
I love you.
All
yeah
right. I can dig it.
You know, and it was funny because I think a lot of the guys were kind of worried about it, but they said it was the best bachelor party they ever been to. Because
mm-hmm
I, you know,
and you were the
I'm
only
a,
woman.
Because I'm a class act.
Other than the professionals at the bachelor
I was the
party.
Only, I was the only woman. Other
did
than
they
the
hire professional gals to come by?
We went out for professionals. We went, mm-hmm, we went out for professionals because we didn't want any fluids, you know, on the places mm-hmm where we were going to eat.
You got to get your cleaning deposit
yes
back.
Yeah,
from the
exactly
cabin.
That's exactly it. That's
yeah
exactly it.
So you didn't have anyone come by the cabin,
no,
but you
no
went
no
out.
We rolled out. We were up in Tahoe. We went out to the casino.
I had
we
my bachelor party in Tahoe.
Tahoe is excellent.
Did
a
you guys
great place.
Go on a houseboat.
We rented a huge party boat.
Yeah.
And just dragged two like 40-pound coolers on there and had paid some poor little kid to drive us all over the lake. We drank and drank. It was just pretty much the best day ever.
Yeah, the entertainment on our party boat was provided by comedian Jeff Ross, not through telling jokes, but by seeing a Jew go into Lake Tahoe where the water was like 35 degrees.
Well, I was saying, as soon as he takes his shirt off, that's a show right there. I love you, Jeff. Wherever you are, I love you so much.
Taking the shirt off was Jeff's opening act. Then when his Rolex came undone when he jumped into Lake Tahoe.
And then he's diving down into like the 40 degree water trying to find his watch.
He said he grabbed it and he said that the captain called him a hero.
Listen, we're landlocked Hebrews. We should not be on the water.
I know.
I think it's exciting to hear that Jeff can swim.
We had a rope tied to his waist.
I love you, Jeff. Wherever you are,
Aisha Tarr, this is what we call a kismet because we went to the same place with the same, probably half the same group for the same bachelor party. How many people have their bachelor party in Tahoe?
Yeah. Just you and my friend Todd.
And you rented a house and hung out for a few days?
It had an indoor pool, indoor hot tub. It had a blackjack table, pool table. Uh-huh. Nice. I swear, the only problem with the weekend was that we had to sleep.
Was this guy your man of honor when you got married?
He was in my wedding, but he was not my man of honor. So, yeah, we've known each other, I mean, since little babies. And in fact, the guy on the boat who was driving was like, what is going on? I was like, this is my buddy's bachelor party. He's like, bah, bah, bah. I said, see, those four guys, I've known them since I was 13. I've known the rest of these guys since I was 15. I can drink them all under the table. You shut up and drive the boat. Yeah.
Tomboy.
It was a great time.
Caller boy.
It was a great time.
Hey, Aisha Tyler, just quickly. The bachelor party for Todd.
Yes.
And I was the bachelor, my bachelor party, obviously.
Well, I hope so.
And we had the same bachelor party, but I'll bet Todd didn't have to share a bed with a guy named Ray who had ringworm.
Wow. So awesome to know that about you now. So great. I'm just going to scooch my chair a little bit further away from
you. So there was some difference.
Well, that's backing it up and getting out the alcohol wipes.
I didn't have ringworm. Ray had ringworm.
Let me say, this is why you need every bachelor party needs a cool chick running the joint because nobody had to share a bed in the cabin that I rented.
That's
if
right.
If I let a dude rent it, they all would have been on the floor under some kind of scabies infested rug. But everybody had a bed in my joint.
I could have had my own bed.
Spooning
with Ray. But that would have been in the room with Kimmel. And his cousin Sal.
They were also spooning, and you just felt like three people
bunk.
And a spoon is a lot.
But when I opened the door the following morning, a wave of ass gas came out of that room that was so potent.
Did they create the chamber in there?
It was a kiln of ass.
I said,
I'm going to go out in the hall and hang with Ray with the ringworm. I don't want to go into the ass kiln.
Well, all of this reminds me of Aisha Tyler's new movie, Balls of Fury.
Oh, yes.
You're an angel.
You are a gentlewoman and a scholar.
There's ointment for that. There's definitely some ointment
for that.
That's
in theaters next Wednesday?
Next Wednesday,
August
the 29th.
Are you kidding me?
Christopher Walken.
Chris Walken, who I play his sidekick, his assassin.
Masayoki, who is from Heroes, who is great. I'm
unbelievably,
a huge fan of that
unbelievably
guy.
Unbelievably cool
Patton
guy.
Patton Oswalt, George Lopez.
Maggie Q from MI3, who's like, and also from Die Hard, Live Free and Die Hard, is like gorgeous girl.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. And Dan Fogler, who not a lot of people know, but they will after they see this movie. Very, very funny guy. Won a Tony. Great singer-songwriter from... I don't know. Is he a singer-songwriter?
I thought Dan Fogelberg.
Oh, Dan Fogelberg. Yes, different guy. He won a Tony for this play called Spelling Bee.
All right.
Oh, yeah, I know Spelling Bee.
Yeah. Very funny guy.
Is he the nerdy guy that spells with his foot?
Okay.
All right, you didn't see it.
I didn't see it. No, I don't
know. He's
obviously
not that big a fan. Aisha Tyler, Balls of Fury, August 29th.
Check
I'm going to get in line now. Great to see you, baby doll.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. Thank you so much, guys.
We will take ourselves a break. Billy West, master of a million voices. Billy West is coming in here. I think he's going to be, what do we have worked out for him, Bald Brian?
He doesn't care what you think, and you know that.
Bald Brian, we got something worked out for Billy West.
Michael Vick. Mike Vick's dogs.
We will interview one of Mike Vick's dogs. That's right. Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
The Adam
Adam Carolla Show welcomes this guy. And this guy.
Get me a sandwich from the dumpster.
And this guy.
Listen to me, you filthy hippies. This is Richard M. Nixon.
This guy, too.
Oh, good news, everyone.
And this guy.
Hello, sickies.
And these two.
Hey, Ren, I'm listening to Adam Carolla, and I'm learning everything about comedy. You shut up, you fat bloated pig.
How about the phone number?
866-901-ADAM. I'm going to call now.
You can't call anybody, you bloated sack.
How come? We don't have a telephone!
Billy West on the Adam Carolla Show.
Great. See you, Billy.
Yeah, never gets tired.
No. You never get tired of the sound of your own 35 voices.
Wait, 36. Come on. Hello, heart.
At least your inner voice can be entertaining. Mine just is a nasally drone that's complaining. You know, you can entertain yourself with that voice inside your head. At least your voice inside your head can sound like a different voice. My voice just sounds the same. What would the voice inside your head sound like? I'm a gay man. Yeah, see, that's what my voice sounds like. I'm gay. But if you have that little voice, stop fornicating with a mop handle. No, that's what my voice sounds like. That's what my inner voice sounds like. It just sounds like mine, but yours must sound like a funny cartoon character.
Ta-da! Hello, boys!
Hello, Frisco! I'm gay. Boo.
That's right. Your inner voice sounds like Deputy Dog.
Does it?
Yeah.
Crazy Guggenheim.
We were talking about Billy West, channeling Michael Vick's dog, or maybe Merv Griffin. I was thinking also Leona Helmsley.
Oh, man.
She's gone. I bet you do a little Leona. Yeah, all you have to do is Mart shot. No one's going to know difference.
Except with a little bit of Long Island.
Right.
You know, let's see. All right.
I'm looking for my poor Harry. He's in the bed up here, too. First thing I'm going to do is hug him and squeeze him and unplug him again.
People don't help their case for egomaniacal, thrifty witches when they get buried in $1.7 million mausoleums. Like, they're like, Leona Helmsley will be missed, survived by her grandchildren. She was a woman of charity. She'll be buried in a palace that costs 10 times as much as the shack you're living in. Her house, the mausoleum, is 2,200 square foot of granite. It is 40 feet high, and it costs $2 million, and that was
dead
probably...
Old bags need protection when
they're dead. That's probably in 1987.
Right.
So it's kind of a weird thing, because on one hand, you'd like to be remembered, so you don't want a styrofoam headstone hanging out. On the other hand, when you're buried in a place that's nicer than most of people living in the South live in, I could see there'd be some resentment.
You're just jealous. You dumb bastard. Only the little Adam Carollas pay taxes.
But how? Why do you need 2,200 square feet when you're dead?
I want it all.
But it's not like you need an entry hall.
I want it all.
What are you going to do with the guest bedroom in the mausoleum?
F you.
I think there's a wrapping room in the mausoleum, like Candy Spelling.
Right. Everybody's got one.
Yeah, that's the fire burning my body. I want to be cremated.
What do you need a bowling alley in the mausoleum for?
You need a ballroom in there? I mean, you're dead.
You shut up, too.
You need servants' quarters in a mausoleum?
I need a young Puerto Rican.
Doesn't seem like you need seven bathrooms.
I swear.
Oh, the Queen of Maine.
You guys, Google a picture of this. It looks like an embassy. Yeah. It is 14 feet high of big marble columns in the front. It is literally, it is like 2,000 square foot of burial. Like,
it's bigger than the baseball museum.
Right. All you do is, you go in there, you hurt your neck from bending over, whereas you go into Leona Helmsley's place of burial and you get to spread out.
That's what little demigods always did, is they erected these odes to themselves.
Yeah, that's what pyramids are, I imagine. All right.
And this is not...
We were talking to the great Billy West about channeling, or at least speaking to one of Michael Vick's dogs. So let's see if we can we can pull. I don't know if the dog's dead or alive. Did they kill him now?
Dead. They're all dead. Well, they're putting him down today, I think.
They're
Heaven's going to be really crowded today.
But one of the dogs escaped. And we have it on line two. Mike Vick's dog? Take that as a yes. Hey, what was it like being in one of these dog fighting kennels?
Man, you don't know what it's like in there.
Simple rough. Yeah.
They tie us up with chains. They beat us. Mm-hmm. They got us electrocuted. It was like the night in Drew Carey's sex dungeon.
It was tough inside those fighting kennels.
Yeah, he an evil mother father. Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think, Mike Vick? I mean, you think he'll be kicked out of the NFL?
I love animals.
I love animals.
Do you think Mike will be kicked out of the NFL?
I hope Michael Vick will be kicked out of the NFL. There's no question about that. There's no place in the NFL for somebody with no education and a violent streak.
You're right. How can you
know
ask?
What I'm saying?
How can you ask?
It hurts.
Yeah, they're mostly scholar pacifists that are in there.
He tried to asphyxiate me.
Oh, no. Bad news kennels really was bad news.
Bad news kennels.
They had a great sense of humor because they spelt news with a Z, although I'm not sure if they thought they were being funny. They may have just thought that's the way news was spelled.
Yeah, that's so urbanely charming.
Yeah. Well, what do you think will happen to Mike Vick?
Well, let me introduce the other dog.
Oh, you want to introduce the other dog?
Ruff.
Oh, there is?
Ruff.
Yeah, another dog that escaped with
you? Yes. I hear Abu Ghraib needs a new warden.
Oh,
he seems qualified, but in the end, I think I'll end up moving to Florida and playing golf with OJ.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
George Burns.
Yeah, they set one of the dogs on fire.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Stick with me, kids.
Mm-hmm.
I see you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you see me?
Yes.
Yes. They set a dog on fire. Did they set a dog on fire? I thought they electrocuted him, shot him, and drowned him.
Are you ready? Are you ready for this?
Yes.
The theory is that they killed the dog they didn't want the first time in the most humane way they could think of. I believe they shot it.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a couple of times of that, they kind of got hip to it and started hanging them. Mm-hmm. And then drowning them by hand so they could, and this is a quote from a doctor, not these guys, so you can feel the life go out of them.
This is Mike Vick's camp.
This is a doctor that is talking about, yes, they killed them this way, but this is a doctor talking about why, that I heard on CNN.
It's a doctor talking about Mike Vick's camp.
Right, absolutely.
All right.
And he said, by the time, and I never heard this story about them setting the dog on fire, but it was to set the dog on fire and to see two things, how fast it would run and how far it would get before it dropped. Mm. It was a bad man.
Wow, I didn't know the fire part.
To be honest with you, it's like a strafe bombing compared to shooting a guy face to face.
Mm-hmm.
You hit the match, the dog goes flying. I think the weird one is holding the dog underwater so you can feel the life go out of it. That's a guy who's about to be a serial killer of humans.
Yeah.
No, lying a dog.
Ride Rake, Rico Rick, and ride his rolls off.
Yes. Lighting a dog on fire, that wouldn't make you a serial killer. It'd probably make you maybe a lawyer or a publicist. Divorce attorney or a publicist. That's where lighting it. But strangling a dog. You've crossed the line.
Well, I want to ask the dog, did Michael Vick ever do anything nice, like pet you or play fetch?
Yeah, he strangled me. Woof, woof. I lost my dog voice.
Well, Michael Vick's dog, this is really getting depressing. Yeah, I'd really like to move on to a happier subject like the demise of Merv Griffin or Cancer Danny.
Now, look, I got a split. I got a poker game to get to.
All right, George. Hey, we also wanted to speak to Merv Griffin.
Ooh.
Dearly departed.
I love that guy.
He's a great man.
Danny Bonaducci, he is with us. Ooh.
He actually said that to me.
His son was
a long time, man.
His son was up there. Did you see the son at the eulogy?
No.
No, I don't want to make fun of a man when he's grieving, but his son was like, he loved crossword puzzles. And everyone was like in the audience going, yeah, he was a great man. And I thought, loving crossword puzzles, doesn't that just mean you're over 80 or incarcerated? Like, does that make you a great man? I thought loving children or humanity or the poor made you that. Loving crossword. And then his... then his son went, the next time you're doing a crossword puzzle, and it says 11 across for dynamic innovator, you can bet it's Merv Griffin. I don't want anyone talking about my love of crossword puzzles at my eulogy.
What's an eight-letter word for talks too much at your dad's eulogy?
Rash roll.
He loved it. And then everyone says it without an ounce of irony. They're like, he was a great, great man who loved crossword. He loved crossword puzzles.
Well, they left an awful lot out, didn't they?
Merv, I want to know what it was like to cross over to the other side. I mean, what was that like to die?
Well, Adam, it was just like going to sleep. You know how at the end of a long day, you'd lay down on a gigantic pile of money and just drift off. It was like that.
Money.
Ooh.
And what is heaven like? I assume you're there.
Frankly, I was surprised because everyone in heaven is gay.
Ooh. Really?
Ooh. Ooh.
Wait a minute.
It was like a big cloudy South Beach. In San Francisco, in the sky. Ooh. Ooh.
I thought those deviants were heading right to hell.
Oh, don't call us that.
I mean, well, hold on. Everyone in heaven is gay?
Yep. Turns out the whole thing was... where God said be fruitful and multiply, it was a mistake. He wanted everyone to be fruitful.
He got that part right.
You beat me to it, though. Ooh.
Yeah, sorry.
God is a big mo.
I didn't know.
God himself is a big mo. Ooh, he is with us. Ooh, you know how they say that God is inside all of us? Well, he was actually inside of me last night. Ooh.
We'll see you in hell, Billy West.
To Billy West, Caleb Jackson.
All right, so whoever it is that's channeling me out there, don't ask me if I'm gay or I'll beat you senseless. Ooh, with a tulip.
What is too soon?
No such animal once you're in this room.
Now, is this a man channeling me from Earth? Ooh, Adam, Danny, T, you are with me.
Oh, it's never too soon.
I haven't been channeled by a man, well, since that cute cable guy channeled my canal before I croaked. Ooh, well, I kid.
Merv had a life that was 10 times as good as any of us could ever dream of having, and he didn't die at 41 in a car accident.
Yes.
He was, what, 80? Yeah. 82, something like that.
In gay years?
Yes. And in gay years, that's like 166.
I actually had a hit song.
No, that's right.
I've got a lovely pair of coconuts.
Yeah.
Here, take a look. I'm naked. They're between my knees. You know what I mean, Lisa? Old age and gravity. Ooh.
It's one of these things where if he wasn't dead, you'd want to kill him when the news reporters explain. They do these old interviews with him, and they're like, how much money did you make from the Jeopardy thinking theme alone? Yes. That little TikTok song they play while people thinking.
Well, I got that idea once.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I took a man from behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh, and he was very bored.
Right.
He began to whistle this curious tune.
Okay, but...
That would have been considered a slap in the face if you didn't make $70 million from that little ditty.
Merv, I thought you wrote that for your son as a lullaby.
No, no, that's the Wasting Time song. Ooh.
You know what I'd like to
do?
Very
bored, that man.
You know what I'd like to do?
Bored.
Here's what I'd like you to do in heaven.
Double Jeopardy.
I'd like you to get together every black blues man from the 30s and 40s, every guy that was ripped off by Elvis and Pat Boone, every guy that wrote 200 songs and never made a penny because the man ripped him off. And he died destitute and poorless. I'd like you to get all those old black blues singers around you and say, gather around. And then you play that Jeopardy song. And you go, fellas,
fellas.
I made $70 million from this.
And you
wrote 200,000 songs and made nothing.
You don't like white people.
That's right. They had to stay in different hotels and eat off hot plates.
Right.
You say that was my hotel and I wrote this song.
That was my hotel.
Well, should Merv share his money in heaven with the blues guys?
No. Spread it around. Come on, Merv.
No, I earned it. Every bit. I created Jeopardy.
Merv spread it around when he was here.
Danny Bonaducci, he is with us. And of course, from the Partridge family, and I had you as a guest on my show in the 1970s.
You did.
Oh my, oh my, this adorable little boy begging my audience for Skittles and pot. Very untoward, very untoward. Trey Gauche, as the French say.
He told me later he couldn't get the Skittles through the syringe.
Now, Adam, I've noticed that you are very good at communicating with your guests.
Oh, no.
For instance, you just shot me a look as if to say, where's the jokes we wrote for you? Ooh, that's very good. Or as people on the internet say, radio gold, radio gold, radio gold. But to really succeed in the talk show realm, you've got to keep things moving.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can.
Ooh, I just got that.
Oh, can someone bring in a can of Glade? Ooh. Ooh.
Death gas is especially
bad. This is bizarre.
Speaking of keeping things moving, Nikki Sixx is waiting in the wings.
Follow that.
Well, wait a minute. I didn't get to talk about my stable boy.
Oh.
Jadumi.
Jadumi.
Heywood Jadumi. He was with me. Now, he took care of my prized Arabian. And then when he was done, he'd leave the bedroom and go out and see how the frickin' horses were doing. Ooh. This afterlife sucks. Where's my old guess?
Yeah.
Stanley Myron Handelman, he is with us. Monty Rock III with his big gay sunglasses, Jew Fro and sweaty chiffon. Ooh, Jack Douglas and Rako. Mrs. Miller, the singing bag lady, she was wonderful.
I gotta take
Gretchen
a break.
Gretchen Weiler.
I gotta
Kitty Carlisle Hart and her husband Moss.
I gotta summon my assistant Jabloni.
I'll take Stop the Bleeding for 800.
We'll be back. Ooh.
Hey, we gotta bring in Nikki Sixx.
The guy snorted
ants with Ozzy Osbourne.
He
won't wait for long.
First time I ever brought this in on my own, my camera.
Oh,
I
need a picture, Nikki.
And I've known
Johnny
him
Carson.
For 20 years, and I need a picture with him.
What, Johnny Carson?
Uh-huh.
Excuse me,
but I was looking for my Tea Time movie girl, Carol Wayne.
Ah, yeah.
Oh, Johnny, what's the good word?
You are still a big lord. And Blabby.
Oh, I love that Carol Wayne.
Pig Meat Markham, he is with us.
We need to take a break.
Go to my ear.
Billy West, everybody. Go to BillyWest.com.
Kiss me.
Find out more information. Nikki Sixx.
George Gobel.
Can you do a George Gobel?
Oh, no.
Well, I'll tell you about weird old Alice.
I stepped on his tongue one night when he was drunk. He couldn't remember his comedy act, and then he threw up. Ooh, George.
George Gobel.
Ooh.
We'll take a break. If you love George Gobel, you're going to love Nikki Sixx.
It was fun chewing the goo with all of you. Ooh.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. From 6 a.m., the Heroin Diaries soundtrack. Nikki Sixx is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you again, Nikki.
Good to see you too. Are you shrinking?
I'm in well, technically yes, but I'm in one of these
smaller chairs.
Every radio station I've ever worked at invests $2 billion in equipment and $4 in chairs.
That's like my studio. Like we have this chair that squeaks all the time. We have the mic on and we're doing an acoustic guitar and you hear this like squeak, squeak.
Yes, I did that when I did Loveline. I did that until finally some listeners who had a office furniture depot in Minnesota sent us some beautiful leather chairs. And then when I left, I said, have two choices. I either take the chair with me or I burn it in the effing parking lot because
did you get it?
I took it with me. Yeah, but I asked for a chair for 5 years, and they were like, no.
No.
That's awesome. Radio's a great place to work. Nikki, so the last time I saw you, I guess, was probably over at Loveline.
Yep.
I've seen the Behind the Music, one of the best, by the way, the Motley Crue. Yes.
Outside we were smoking cigarettes, And I was telling him when I did Breaky Bonaducci, I went as far as I could go, but I never beat that one line that Nikki Sixx owns behind the music with this line. And that's when I woke up, and the needle was still in my arm. That's the line to beat, and I couldn't do it.
But I didn't sound that cool.
Well, yeah, you don't have the cancer throat either.
do you smoke?
I do smoke.
Huh.
But well,
if you step it
anymore.
Up a little, you could sound like Danny.
How long have you been clean now?
Me, 6 years.
6 years now.
Yeah.
I knew it was a very long
time. You look great.
Yeah?
Nothing like on. Yeah, very healthy and vibrant.
I mentioned it yesterday how good you are. I'm a gigantic. You're the first person I brought a camera in to say, please take a picture of me.
Yeah, we've run into each other a few times.
Over the last 25 years.
Out there.
Yeah.
Well, Nikki, let's go back to the beginning. The band Motley Crue forms in 1980.
God, here we go.
Tommy Lee and... who else? Mars? Who else are you with at
Mick
that
Mars,
point?
Mick Mars,
Neil,
sure.
Mars.
And they all come together about the same time?
First, I met Tommy, mm-hmm. and then we met Mick Mars, and then we met Vince.
Is Mick older, or did he just do more drugs?
No, actually, Mick is... when Mick showed up at my house,
mm-hmm.
he was like 95.
And this is in 1981.
Yeah, 95. Right. So he is a vampire.
Yes. And he
wrote me a note that mm-hmm. day. We drank a huge bottle of schnapps, and he wrote me a note explaining how he was going to kill me, chop me up in little pieces, and put me in the trunk of a car, which he didn't own a car.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew we were off to a good start.
He said, this is rock and roll.
This is it. And he's always been a little dark.
Do you think you would have gotten into heroin if you didn't get into rock and roll?
I would have definitely found my way into something. You know, it wasn't rock and roll. It was me. I was,
right.
You know, looking at you through this thing right here, it's like doing one of those
through the microphone
it's like one
loop.
Of these
yeah.
eye exams. Yeah. Can I move this and get a
squeeze? Please.
Yeah.
Please. So is there addiction in your family?
Absolutely. There is addiction in my family. And going back and doing research, my father was a big alcoholic, and addiction runs in different places than just alcoholism and mm-hmm. and drugs. You know,
sure.
It comes in all kinds of forms:
yeah.
gambling, sex,
exercising,
yeah,
thrill seeking.
Yeah, sex and exercising is the same thing, isn't it?
If you're doing it right.
Not if I barely know her. If I barely know her, 8 calories. If I've been married to her for 10 years, 7,000 calories before I can finish.
Wow. You can, cool. Pardon the pun, check both boxes on the list if you're having vigorous sex. But usually if you have to go back and research your dad, that means addiction.
Well, it definitely means he wasn't around, right?
Right.
It wasn't like I could go to him and sit down and say, so, Dad, what were you like as a kid? You know, he split when I was 3.
Right.
And Mom when I was 6.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Your mom? So who raised you?
I went to my grandparents, and then, you know, I would go back to my mom because she would, you know, want me to come back, and then she would be out of her mind. I'd go back to my grandparents, and if I look back on my own history, mm-hmm. and I got that from writing this book, is that... It really was that those formative years for anybody as a human. You know, you become, you know, ungrounded. You don't really know where you're coming from, and you know, then you add this thing called hormones in there when you mm-hmm. turn into a teenager, right. Which I'm dealing with my own teenagers. It's karma. And,
yeah. Yeah. No kidding, buddy.
What do you have, boys, girls?
I have 2 boys and 2 girls.
I have one.
Good times.
You have what? What do you have?
12-year-old girl and a 6-year-old boy.
So I have a 13-year-old girl. She came down about a week ago. Over the summer, she blossomed.
You know,
you remember like when you go back to school and the ugly girl would come back and everyone would be like, whoa, what happened?
Yep, that was me.
You were the ugly girl?
And then I blossomed.
You blossomed.
And then I'd fan myself and go, fresh.
I was actually always me, but I did the girl from Blossom. Does that count?
Did you do the girl from Blossom?
No.
Did that happen to your daughter?
Yeah, she blossomed this summer, right? So she comes downstairs,
mm-hmm.
and she's got this new haircut. She's got the makeup on. She's got her girlfriend. They're 13, but they look 21.
My daughter at 12 has jet black hair and bright red bangs.
Okay, so it's the same story. So you come down and I go... wow, what are you guys doing? And they go, we're going up the street to see the boy on the corner. And I'm mm-hmm. like, no, that's never going to happen. Not now. Not 18, not 21, not 31.
Well,
go back to your room, leave.
Because you know what's happening. And in fact, there's a big story that came out about you today. Apparently you did an interview with Blender. And he talked about being on the road with Motley Crue. This is the story that's going around. You can tell me whether or not it's true.
I'm sure it's true.
There
that's
were
the
bounties.
Problem.
When they were on the road, Adam, there were bounties on certain things. Like, who could get the largest woman would get 10 grand. And the big bounty was who could get... It became boring getting mother-daughter.
Yeah, they it got made boring. It was
mother,
easy. It's easy fishing.
They made it daughter, mother, grandmother.
Yeah.
Wow.
Did anybody ever complete the
trifecta? No, no one ever got that. But I do remember, because I was from Seattle, laying in a hotel in Seattle, and thinking, if I could get a grandmother, I could get 10 grand.
Right.
So I called housekeeping, and they came to the door, and it was like, you know, like a, I don't know, 30-year-old, you know, Chinese woman. I was like, no, I'm okay. And I kept doing it. And finally, this old lady came. And I was like, cool. I went back, laid in my bed, pulled the covers back, laid there. And I was like, you know, I'm thinking about Playboy magazine, Hustler, I'm anything to get it.
Sure.
You know, I got reported.
Really?
What's wrong with people? What's, I mean, what is wrong with people?
Grandma wasn't into it?
No, and you'd think, you know. You'd think some guy.
Does she know who you are?
I don't know. Some guy covered in tattoos with makeup smeared all over his face, a pile of cocaine
needle
next to
arm?
The needle in the arm. What's not attractive about that?
Well, I have a couple of questions. First off, does your daughter have D'Errico blood running through her veins, or is this from a previous relationship?
This is from my first marriage, yeah.
Yeah, but I'll bet she wasn't a pig either. I mean, the point is...
Oh, yeah, they're hot.
They got some pretty good genes.
Yeah.
And when it comes time to blossom, they're going to head in a very nice direction.
Yeah. And hopefully I've given them a good foundation for, you know, what's the future. But, you know, it's rough. Dad's a rock star. The moms are playmates.
Right.
We're going to hell.
And as far as your family, because I'm very interested in this, I didn't know you were raised by your grandparents. Mm-hmm. It's refreshing to see white people do this every once in a while. I didn't know that, and I assume that there's always addiction. When you say the parents, you know, dad came and went with the wind, and mom was out of control, and then she would pick me up crying and say she was sorry, and she'd never do it again. I mean, it's just all, that's all addiction. That's all just substance abuse right there.
Well, it's not substance abuse, but it is actually abuse.
Right.
You know, to kids.
Well, what I mean is people that are straight don't behave this way.
Not true.
Really?
Not true.
Your parents, your mom didn't...
No,
mom,
I mean, but take my family out of it. But, I mean, I know so many people, you know, they're raging alcoholics, you know, sex addicts, they've got other issues. A lot of it's, you know, chemical. People are messed up chemically.
Sure.
They're born with these things. They're born with depression. They're born with, you know...
I am just saying, yes, it does happen. And certainly that is chemical imbalances. Yeah, like
we're getting Dr. Drew on the line. This is out of control.
Coming from within. But what I'm saying is nature or nurture, you had it both working against you. You had the booze gene and you had the addiction gene, and then you had the kind of chaotic environment that would cause you to do this anyway.
Sure.
And as Dr. Drew always said, something that's interesting, if one of your parents has the alcoholic gene or is an alcoholic, or both of them are alcoholics, you still have a 50-50 chance of having it.
Oh, so he's saying if both do, you're 50-50.
And if one does, you're 50-50.
That's how genetics works.
It does.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I guess we didn't finish biology. I had to get in the carpet cleaning. You had to hit the road with a band.
Did you do carpet cleaning too?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you have
any crappy jobs? I did the steam cleaning.
Yes.
Ah. You do that?
Hell yes.
Did you do the one where you had to get the big steam cleaner and put it in your own car and go and do the thing?
The wand, and you have to throw it in
the
trunk of your car
with the
whole thing and drag it. I cleaned the carpet over at Fredericks of Hollywood once.
Wow, that's what happened.
And there was no place to park in front of Fredericks of Hollywood, so I had to park down the street about a quarter mile, and it was just me and my carpet cleaning machine and buckets and wands pushing it down the sidewalk over, you know, this is 20 years ago, there's like homeless junkies sleeping out there. And then I cleaned the pink carpet until 2 a.m., and people would keep banging on the glass, wanting me to let them in so they can snip underpants.
Why does cleaning the
underpants?
Pink carpet sound so dirty?
It does.
Sound right.
So,
Nikki saying
I'm sorry. So, Nikki, you come from chaos. Your grandparents raise you, and these are the grandparents on your mother's side?
My grandmother was my mother's mother.
Right.
And then my grandfather was my step-grandfather.
Got it.
Perfect. Yeah. And they do a decent job.
No, they're absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think looking back, I go, you know, I just was like, where's mom, where's dad? Yeah. I didn't know at the time. I didn't even know a lot of this stuff till 10 years ago, to be honest.
Have you ever found your dad?
I found his grave.
Oh, really?
When did he die? How old were you?
He died in 1976. So.
Oh, so he never knew the adult you. No. He never knew the rock star, the success.
No, there's a line in the song Van Nuys off the Heroin Diaries CD. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know if you know, we have an album that came out now. And then it's basically a concept record, very much like, Tommy or Quadrophenia or The Wall.
But it's a soundtrack to a book,
book, yeah.
Clever, man.
Yeah, and there's a song in there called Van Nuys, the second song, where it says, I just want my dad to know that I finally made it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going back and revealing all this stuff.
You're a more decent man than I. When my father passed away, I couldn't muster a single emotion. I couldn't bring myself to care if he thought I made it or not.
And you know what?
If he abandoned you when you were a kid, you to go back and think, I wish he would have seen me made that, you're a nicer man than I would have thought off the bat, and I've known you a long time.
Yeah, you know what? I found his grave.
Where? She had coming.
Now I'm with you.
Yeah. Okay, we got bleeped. Relieve yourself on his grave, which arguably he had coming.
Yeah, and I look at this. It was really sad because it was this little, 8x10 plaque that had a big crack in it. And then, the thing where you put the flowers in?
Yeah, the cross. Mm-hmm.
There was no flower.
Two?
No, you know what? I didn't. I'm just not a. I'm not a number two in public kind of guy.
Right, thank you.
But you
had a change of heart that seemed.
Well, you know what? Right then I went.
Nobody cares.
You know what? Forget this. This guy. It's not worth wasting my time.
Yeah. Well, if he died in 76, he must have died a pretty young man.
I think he was 15, maybe 20 years older than my mom.
Uh huh.
Ah.
But either way, he was in his 40s or something, right?
No,
or 50, early 50s?
Probably in his 60s.
Really? Made it?
Well, you see, my mom had me when she was 18, so that would make him 28.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody do math here? Because,
what year were you born? What year were you born?
I was born in 58.
You were born? Oh, I didn't know you were that old.
Wow.
I'm born in 59, and you can hold a cup of water in the wrinkles around my eyes. You look good, man.
Yeah, that's good genes. So you're born in 58.
Yeah.
Your dad is... Your mom is 18.
Yeah.
And your dad is...
Let's say 20 years older.
20 years older.
I think so. Let's say
38. In 58.
Okay.
And then he dies.
In 76.
In 76. Oh, so it's almost 30. Oh, no. Almost 20 years later. So it's 35. He's 56.
He's pretty
when
young.
He dies.
He's a pretty young guy.
Yeah, do you know how he died?
Died of a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
Did he have other kids?
I found out, I never knew, that I have a half brother.
Now, did you go out and seek out the half brother?
You know, there's this program. Yeah, this is quite a while ago, called the Family Tree. It's a CD thing.
My mother and father-in-law love that.
It's amazing. We put in my original last name, which was Ferrana. Mm-hmm. My father was from Sicily and very Italian.
Paisan.
Yes, and put it in, and all these Ferranas came up in San Jose, and it was when I was with Donna, and I said, well, that's where I was born. So we start researching, and we find this guy. And they actually, guy's phone number's listed.
Oh, that's
funny. He's your half brother.
He's my half brother. So I call him, and
does he know who you are? Nikki Six, by the way, is in the studio.
No,
well,
he didn't know.
I mean, you know now, but did he know then?
Well, I told him the story about my father and who my father was, my mother, and he said he heard about it, and that my father was married before he was born.
So he's a half brother.
Yeah.
You guys have a different mother. Same father.
Yeah, exactly. This is rough stuff today.
I know, but I like it.
Brother, mother, math.
Yeah, I like it, too.
Do you?
Yeah.
Does this usually happen here?
Yeah.
No.
All sorts of weird crap.
Only to me, usually.
Well, so I just find this stuff more interesting than whatever the hell's going on.
So, I called him and I said, listen, told him the story. And, and I said, my father, Frank Ferrana. And he says, that was his father. And I said, I thought so, and did this thing. And then after an hour-long conversation, and I said, but I changed my name because I was so pissed at him when I was a kid. And I changed it to Nikki Six, and it was, silent.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, hello? And he goes, are you in a band? And I go, yeah. And he goes, why do I know that name? And then I told him, and he was, it was, bizarre.
He's freaking out.
You're my half-brother?
Wow, what
and
a weird
he obviously
phone call.
He's a fan. He knows.
I don't know if he was a fan or
but
not.
But he certainly knew Motley Crue.
He knew, and then, you know, a lot of that stuff came up. But it was weird. I didn't have any desire to reach out to him. It's like Danny's saying, you know, I just was like, that was then, this is now.
Right?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you something that maybe can lighten the moment for 1 minute. It's weird that the guy didn't know you immediately. If I am not mistaken, and like I said, I'm an awful big fan. Motley Crue has played for more live people than any other band in the world. Is that correct?
You know, I've never heard that, but I'd say it's correct.
It's on your Behind the Music.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it is. That you have played, that you were on tour for how long consistently? The longest stretch.
Oh, yeah. It's about 2 years.
2 years? Yeah. And you were filling auditoriums and stadiums for those 2 years?
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, it said on your Behind the Music.
But you look back and you go, you too. I mean, they've topped that. Come on.
No, they don't play like you. They didn't play every day for 2 years like
you
do.
Well, that's true.
I mean, according to what I heard on my TV, and I believe everything I ever heard on my TV, you have played for more people than any other band in the world. And secondly, and this has nothing to do with the book and the CD. That's the book is the Heroin Diaries, right?
Yeah, the Heroin Diaries.
And the CD is titled?
Well, the band is called 6AM. We formed a band to do the album, the Heroin Diaries soundtrack.
You know, here's what I want to throw out just for me. Nicky Six, all by himself before... what's that guy from whatever that band did his shoes? Trent or whatever his name is.
Trent Reznor?
No, the guy. Well, it doesn't matter. Everybody got in the clothes business, but years ago, Nicky Six got in the clothing business, and they are the most happening. I don't own your jeans. I didn't even know you made jeans. I got it when the shirts first came out.
You know what I think?
They're the best shirts I ever saw.
You know, I think what you're talking about is I did the first clothing line I did was called Dragonfly.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Dragonfly.
This is Dragonfly.
Okay. So I left Dragonfly. Now don't feel bad, okay?
Okay, I don't.
they forgot to pay me.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Doesn't matter. I still like your work.
That's right. Good. So I left.
I think Danny forgot to pay them.
I did.
See how this is karma. I love this stuff. I love this stuff. So then Kelly Gray, whose family started St. John Clothing for Women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huge knits. Success. Yes, knits. Amazing, right? We formed together Royal Underground, and now we're in Neiman Marcus and Bloomingdale's.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I like this, the rings and the jewelry I'm wearing, that's all Royal Underground
is
stuff.
Is that real?
Dude. Oh, yeah.
Because I buy mostly these. This is like $5.
No, you need to spend the $3,000 for the ring.
A good
do you design
looking?
This stuff?
Huh?
Do you design the clothing, the jewelry, and that
Kelly,
kind of stuff?
Me and Kelly design everything.
And it's called Royal Underground Clothing Company.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'll tell you this. The shirt, and you may have parted ways with these guys.
It don't matter.
I'm not going to back off how great these shirts are. You know how a lot of people wear shirts on long sleeve shirts? They're kind of flesh-colored, and they're tatted up. Mm-hmm. They have tattoos, and they're trying to fake you that they have that many tattoos. Nicky came out with a line of clothes, skin tight, but they were blue and green. Everybody knew it wasn't your skin. You weren't fooling anybody. But some of the best tattoo art you ever saw. Nice. They're still some of my favorite shirts.
Thanks, man.
They're bitching.
Well, go out and get yourself a Royal Underground article of clothing and some jewelry. And while you're out, get the Heroin Diaries. And
you know, we brought some books.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Really?
Oh, good times.
Yeah.
The book is released September 18th.
Yep.
So you may have to wait just a couple of few, but you can, I guess, pre-order all that stuff on your Amazon.
When you say you brought a couple, you brought a couple to the studio?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I'll tell you what, if one person calls in and wins the book and doesn't want it, I'll give you $100 cash for it.
We're not giving it away. I'm taking
giving it away.
Oh, you got to give it to the listeners.
Screw the listeners. What the hell they do? Already doing a free show for their asses.
I'm doing a free show for their asses, Corolla.
Well, I'm getting paid, but they don't pay me.
You know what? If you send in a chair that doesn't squeak,
free book.
We'll give you a book.
We'll give you a
signed,
free book.
Signed copy.
I've got a great invention. How about a car radio that just has like a coin slot in it, like a parking meter, and you just have to feed nickels into it, you know, it'll get you 15 minutes, and if you land on a commercial, so be it.
It's called satellite radio.
Oh, maybe that's it. All right, bad idea. All right, Nicky, God bless you.
Thank you.
Nice to see you. Not only did you tour around the world nailing elderly women and slam heroin, but you're...
He tried to.
You're 50 years old, and you look brand new
really
for
do.
The
48.
You look brand new for the love of
and
Christ.
You're the first guest to throw me. Oh, my God, it's Nicky Six.
It's so good seeing you guys
Thanks,
again.
Man.
Danny's going to have to change his women's panties now. Hey, T.
Yes.
What's coming up in the news, baby girl?
Okay, well, turns out Lindsay Lohan may be breaking a couple of the rules in rehab that Nicky Six may be familiar with. Lindsay may be breaking them. And, shocker, Donald Trump lied to everyone.
I don't believe
it.
Yes.
We'll take a break. We'll get to the bottom of those stories next.
Indianapolis, Indiana, was carjacked outside a mall a couple weeks ago on August 10th. She managed to secretly call 911 on her cell phone through her purse's fabric. And she was trying to give clues to the 911 dispatcher about where she was.
I can't use my cell phone just sitting at home.
She's using it through her purse while being kidnapped.
She have her hand in her purse, or she actually dialed through the side of the purse?
I think it was through the fabric is what it sounds like.
My guess is what it sounds like is because one of the reasons Gretchen finally said I want a divorce is my phone dialed her while I was talking to somebody and saying crap I shouldn't have, and she heard it all.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was awful. But what I'm thinking she had is she just, like, could feel the buttons and figured this one's a 9. This one's a 1. And did it right through the purse or her jeans or whatever. That's what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it didn't work out. She tried to call 911. They couldn't figure out what was going on, so she went to Plan B. She kicked open her passenger side door and jumped out of the moving car. She survived unharmed, and she credits a certain talk show personality who gave some advice about this, or one of her guests did, on a show. And I actually happened to see the same show. Let's take a listen to Sydney Smith discussing her harrowing kidnapping.
We started driving, and I just knew that I needed to call 911, so I immediately called 911, had a phone call with them, and shortly after that, he had noticed that I was on the phone and had taken my phone, so then I knew then that I had to do something else. I needed to get out of that, and I also watched an Oprah show that had said that don't go to the second location, and you need to get out of that car somehow. Get out if you can. So that's when I unlocked the door, kicked it open. And as we were taking the corner, I just, with all my might, rolled out of the car and hit the ground. And luckily, we made a wide turn, so I wasn't in traffic, and I just rolled into the grass.
Well, I guess it could have been worse. It could have been Tyra Banks.
That would have been worse. Never go to the second location.
Which case it would have...
Kiss my fat ass!
Would have been an entire week dedicated to Tyra Banks' hero.
It's true.
That would have been the name of that week's shows.
Kiss my heroic ass!
Oprah. Oh, all these chicks with their...
Well, I think Oprah had on Gavin DeBecker. You know that security guy? Danny knows him.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't go to the Secret of Fear and the Gift of Fear.
Yeah, you shouldn't go. You should fight
Gavin
and scrap.
De Blowhard. Okay, people.
I like him.
Hey, I could tell you that kidnapper was your best friend and that he was taking you to a land filled with chocolate and lollipops, but I'd be lying to you, and I'm not going to do it. I've not learned a goddamn thing from any expert. I really haven't.
Really?
No, I never have. Every security expert, everyone's like, hey, the guys who are security experts, well, you got to get deadbolts on the door. Oh, you mean this little wisp of cotton I've been using to keep it closed is not secure? Outdoor lighting, a lot of lighting. Thief doesn't want to come to a house where there's lots of lighting. People, I like when they do this one, too. He's got a choice to make. He's going to rob a house tonight. Now, it can be your house or it can be someone else's. He doesn't care. He just robs. That's all he does. He robs. That's what he does for a living, okay? He robs. He doesn't take weekends off. He doesn't take holidays off. I like when they get in the... He doesn't care who you are, who your girlfriend is, or every little radio show. All he does is rob. And he's looking for the easiest... Most of these guys are super condescending blowhards, and 99% of what they tell you is super obvious. If it's a weight loss expert, so people, you got to start moving, you start exercising, you got to start eating leafy greens. That blowhard meets security blowhard. You bring any security blowhard to your house and you ask him, what should you do? It's like, well, you don't leave that doggy door open all night. You put deadbolts, blah, blah, blah. Outdoor lighting. Do you have an alarm? It's all that stuff. He'll never give you a good one.
The number one deterrent to crime, honest to God, barking dog. Over gun, over alarm system, over cameras. Barking dog, even a little yappy one. Because burglars are not, by 99.999%, don't want to deal with you at all. They just want to take your stuff.
Yeah.
And if the dog wakes you, they'll go to the next door neighbors. Barking dog, way to go.
And they'll do this one every once in a while. You know the number one house that doesn't get broken into? The one they walk past. Okay, people?
Right.
It's the one that doesn't get broken into. That's the way.
You're doing so well. I hate to disagree with you on one thing, though. I have, in fact, learned something from an expert. And I don't usually, because I always think I'm the expert.
Yeah.
Sweatpants with zippers.
Thank you.
I'll never
brother.
Forget it, my man. I've never left my keys at the gym ever again. I've never been locked out of my locker ever since.
There.
You know, that's a real time saver.
Fashion sweatpant expert. I should be on Oprah.
You should.
You'd smoke on Oprah. I've been on Oprah 3 times, but always under indictment and explaining that child star being a famous person isn't what did it. And then Gary Coleman or one of those guys say, yes, it is. Danny's wrong. Mm-hmm. I've never been on as a normal human being.
I'd like to go on as a normal human being.
I'd like you to go anywhere as a normal human being.
Thank you.
It just made me laugh.
Danny, you mentioned dogs.
Yes, I did.
And mm-hmm. how a barking dog Number can be a deterrent yep. for a burglar. But what's the most common name for a pet dog?
Max.
Mike.
Max is correct.
Thank you.
Damn.
The people at the Veterinary Pet Institute, the VPI, mm-hmm. the nation's oldest and largest provider of pet health insurance is what they call themselves.
Or, as I know them, Dyke Central.
It's another name.
Okay, that's two things I've learned from an expert.
They finished
There's
a study.
Heavy set dykes over there.
They finished a study of more than 450,000 dogs and cats mm-hmm. and looked into the most popular pet names for both cats and dogs.
Oh, I don't think I'm
mm-hmm. Max prevails. Mm. What else?
Max in the dog department or dog and cat? Yeah.
Yeah.
I love animals.
And by the way, the man and I were thinking about that he likes that name for a boy.
I love
so
animals.
So now it's out.
Oh, really? Great.
Little Max.
Yell for Logan son.
Hoitsky.
Mm. What about a dolphin?
Max the dolphin?
No, just the dolphin that I'm looking at the news and it's raping the trainer.
Mm.
Well,
Adam, this is radio.
Yeah, and it's also the news.
I think it's pretty graphic. And you're talking about animals. That's news. They're doing a show at SeaWorld and the dolphin came out and actually physically had sex with the trainer.
I need you to focus.
No.
I need you to focus.
I'm sorry. I can't show you. She needs me to focus.
No, I'm looking at it and they're the dolphin. But you know what?
Mm.
With what the trainer's wearing,
now
he's kind of asking for it.
Yeah, you're going to wear one of those skin-tight wetsuits, buddy.
He's
you're
asking
for it.
For it.
Watch. All right.
Watch. And the way he was looking at the dolphin.
All right, the dog is humped.
No, he's not kidding.
Now he puts his feet up. All right, well, go to YouTube and check out dolphin humps.
You know what happens, you know, at 4 and 5 in the morning, Danny, when you're sleeping?
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming up with these crappy stories, and you're going to listen to it.
I'm at the gym, darling.
All right. Now, as I was saying.
Sleep at the gym?
Yep.
Go ahead, T.
The second most popular name for dog?
Mm-hmm.
Dogs? Molly.
Oh.
Well, we both had one.
It's
yeah. Max and Molly.
I didn't name my dog, so I don't feel pedestrian.
It's a good name.
It's a good name, yeah.
Followed by Buddy, Bella, Lucy, Maggie, Daisy, Jake, Bailey, and Rocky.
Those are going to be all the names of my pets.
What about cats? You got Max, of course, and then Chloe, Lucy, Tigger, Tiger, Smokey, Oliver, Bella, Sophie, and Princess.
Mm. My wife likes Flat. She hates cats.
Oh,
yeah. Cats. We
really?
Have three cats.
I love cats.
I've never even seen them.
You love cats and your wife hates them?
Mm-hmm.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's strange. Well, I want to tell you about the big lie
mm-hmm.
that Donald Trump perpetrated on you, mm-hmm. me, the New York Post, and the American public, but I will do that when we come back.
Oh, we're going to do a little tease?
Yeah, I think we got to break it up today.
All right, so Donna Trump. Pretty nice name to call her. Everyone who hates Donald Trump should just start calling him Donna Trump. Donna Trump gets busted in the line. Also, Lindsay Lohan out of control in rehab.
That's what they're saying.
We'll do that next when the news continues on the Adam Carolla Show.
To the Adam Carolla Show. Here's another summer safety tip with the Deaf Frat Guy.
I'm Maverick, the Deaf Frat Guy, here to give you just the tip. There's no better way to enjoy this summer than spending some time camping in the great outdoors. But beware that when amongst nature, you can encounter wild animals such as bears, snakes, and beavers. Dude, I just totally sent Beamer. Punti is going to laugh his ass off.
Thanks, Mav. Now back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, let's get to the rest of the news, T.
Hopefully a porpoise won't rape a trainer or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But you never know.
All right, don't be passive aggressive.
Didn't want anything interesting to happen during your news.
No. You may as well just call her fat.
Did you just call me fat?
He called your news
fat. I called
fat.
You dull.
He said your news had a big nose.
What's wrong with you?
Nothing. I sat around with Angie yesterday saying, does she know that when me and Adam go off on her like that she's the star of the show? So I was busy complimenting you on what you just dogged me on.
What? Adam,
that when we think you're so interesting that we take your story and run with it, you're the star of the show.
Hmm. Oh, your news story.
Oh.
That's right.
Thank you.
That's right. You could be replaced by USA Today. But go, keep
and
going.
My fingers are crossed.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The not always reliable Star tabloid mm-hmm. says things are not going that well for Lindsay Lohan in rehab. Supposedly, staff at the Cirque Lodge in Utah, where she's been staying,
mm-hmm.
Are about ready to kick Lindsay out. She's had a bit of a discipline problem. Again, this is according
mm-hmm.
to Star.
Mm-hmm.
They say, now, if you remember last time she was in rehab, we discussed this, because she was accused of having people sneak in various cough medicines
mm-hmm.
that she would turn into drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether or not that's true, but obviously her last stint in rehab was not totally successful.
Mm.
So what they're saying now is that they suspect her of using drugs in the facility. They tried to test her. She refused. A local radio station is also reporting that on one of her outings to the surrounding town, she went on a beer run.
I saw a thing on like Entertainment Tonight where she was kayaking and healthy and reading her big book of sobriety.
Sure,
and
the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Was never more grounded and centered than she was as of yesterday. So who the hell knows? And
I don't know.
I'm done caring. Her last five movies have sucked. When do you stop becoming news? When do you stop becoming a big celebrity? How many crappy movies do you have to do? And she did a movie with Jamie Lee Curtis 11 years ago that was halfway decent.
Freaky Friday?
Right. And then she's done a string of really crappy movies or movies that have flailed at the box office. Who cares?
You didn't like Georgia Rule?
Oh.
I don't understand.
Oh.
So she was on this beer run, according to a so-called witness,
mm-hmm.
with her a guy that looked like her bodyguard. Mm-hmm. They stopped into a convenience store and picked themselves up some Miller Lite.
Look.
Beverage of choice for Lindsay Lohan.
Let me give everyone a quick reality check. You ain't going to stop boozing at 19 and a half or 20 or 21. You stop boozing somewhere in your 30s. What you need to do is wrap yourself in styrofoam and duct tape for about 10 years.
Right.
You're going to be in and out of rehab. It's never going to work. You're going to go on benders. When you get out of rehab, you'll do twice as much. It's like binging and purging, except for with booze.
Right.
People, when you're 19, you're going to binge and purge. What somebody needs to do is go, look, you can have a piece of chocolate cake only on Saturdays. I'm going to sign you this person. He's going personal trainer. He's going to work with you. You're going to eat salads. And then when the weekend comes around, you're going to get to whatever. You're not going to quit anything at 19. What you need is a couple of guys who go, look, you're going to get drunk, but you're not doing it on days you work, and you're not doing it on nights when you have 6 a.m. calls the following morning. We'll get our booze on Saturday, and these two big guys are going with you, so no paparazzis take any pictures of you climbing out of the cab with your underpants down, and you don't get in any catfights on the sidewalk in front of the Key Club.
Let me get this straight. When can I throw up the cake?
When Danny puts you down again. Keep going.
Don't hold your breath.
I am about to cut myself just to take away the pain of Danny.
Mm.
Somebody who never has any personal pain, Donald Trump, seems like a happy, happy guy.
You know why? Because I'm classy.
Yeah.
And I do not suck.
You don't suck.
I'm not a loser.
Maybe a liar.
Rosie's a loser.
What Rosie else? Is a loser.
You don't care for Rosie still?
She's a fat pig loser. He, she, man, boy, woman.
But is she attractive?
She's a pig, fat. She's a, you know, most people are big, fat losers.
Yeah.
She's a pig, fat loser. She's a loser, and she displays no class.
Is she smart?
She has a lack of class display. If there was a class museum and there was a plaque that said Rosie, there would be a Lucite box with nothing in it. She has no display of class.
Rosie is a loser.
But if they had a loser museum,
yeah.
The opening would be her mouth.
Right.
Because she is such a loser.
The whole exhibit at the Loser Museum would be Rosie.
When I wanted to teach my kids what a loser was, I would take them to Rosie's Loser Museum in Canton, Ohio.
Although they've already learned everything because they went to college.
That's right, Wharton. They went to the Wharton School of Business.
I know you hate to mention.
I never bring up Wharton. It's the greatest, classiest, non-loserous school of business that daddy could ever buy his kids into.
Well, I don't know about the ethics.
I'm a legacy, not a loser.
I don't know about the ethics.
You understand?
Of lying. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when he told the New York Post about all these celebrities that were lined up to do The Apprentice, the celebrity version?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he said Carmen Electra, Joan Rivers, Naomi Judd, George Foreman, Kimora Lee Simmons, Dana Patrick, Pete Rose, Tony Hawk, and that dude from Mad Money, Jim Cramer.
None of which are losers.
They're not losers.
No, they're all classy.
Well, it started to look a little fishy because a spokesperson for Jeff Gordon says, quote, he has not agreed to participate. They contacted me with very little specifics, and I explained that I highly doubt that Jeff would be able to participate. I asked for more information, and I received nothing. So he's
all right. He's a loser and a degenerate. And I got a new celebrity.
Who?
Little someone by the name of Gavin McLeod.
Oh.
That's right, Captain Steubing.
From Love Boat.
Not a loser.
Nope.
His agent said if he's alive, he's in. He's going to get back to me.
Well, none of the other celebrities have denied the report yet, but a spokesman for Trump is doing it for them.
You know why Rosie can't be an apprentice?
Why?
Too fat for the boardroom.
She wouldn't fit?
She'd break the board. She'd bend it, then the board would snap, and we'd all fall into the sea.
In an email...
I don't have chairs big enough for her non-classy loser ass. Big fatty.
You think she's overweight?
Fatty McPigment. She's a big loser, fat. She displays no class like Ivanka.
Ivanka is classy.
Ivanka's classy.
She's classy.
She speaks with an accent. That's how I knew she was classy.
Right. You could tell.
And Ivana, what's my new wife's name?
That's...
Amalia?
No, that's Manilia. Melania?
Yeah.
Yeah,
she's classy. She has an accent. I marry people that have accents so people know class has arrived.
It's a good idea.
When you can't pronounce class, that's how you know you're classy.
Well, Trump, your spokesman, wrote an email to the Detroit Free Press and said, quote,
I got a toilet that looks like a chandelier. That's how classy I am.
It's gold,
I crap into Crystal.
Crystal.
Yeah, that's her name.
In your email, your spokesperson said none of those names are confirmed or signed. What ran in the post was speculation at this stage and not confirmed by NBC or by the producers. Mm. So they speculated all these names and placed them in the New York Post and got us all to talk about it.
You know what Rosie uses?
What?
Lard mail. That's like email, but it's fat and has no class because she's a big, fat, biggie lady who eats and never stops eating. I'm surprised she can get words out of that mouth. It's always stuffed with barbecue.
Do you read her blog?
I don't call it a blog. I call it a hog. It's when a fat person blogs. I call them hogs. A big, fat, classless, stupid, unclassy loser lady with no class like me and Melania.
It's Melania.
Melania. Niplania.
Well...
There's a heaving bosom, which is classy.
It's very classy. I don't know if any of these...
Speaking of heaving, yes. If I saw Rosie's bosom, I'd heave. That's her heaving bosom. Big, fat, piggy, fat, sweaty, dykey lady.
So you
stupid
don't like,
and no class.
You don't like her.
Loser. Cluser. That's class meets loser. Classless cluser. And cluser and loser.
Right.
It's not classy like me.
You're very classy.
You know, I'm classy. You come into my penthouse, I got paintings on the ceilings.
On the ceilings?
Frescoes.
Wow.
Right. You know what Rosie has on her ceiling?
What?
Fatsos.
Is that paintings of fat people?
It's an ancient form of painting where they actually infuse the color into the actual plaster. Fatsos.
Is that done with mayonnaise or paint?
It's done with Miracle Whip and Dijonnaise and barbecue sauce when they need the red tones.
I've learned a lot.
Bunch of scapes of fat people being fed chicken wings. Whereas I have thin people eating grapes.
In closing, should I smoke?
Yes.
No,
it sucks. I'll tell you who should smoke.
Who?
Rosie.
Why?
Makes you lose weight. She's so big and fat.
But it might kill her.
Yeah, better. From your mouth to God's ears.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Let me tell you something. She's going to hell anyway. She's not going to heaven.
Rosie?
Yeah. Too fat for heaven. She cave it in.
Well, they sit on clouds, though. I think they're weight-bearing clouds.
No. You know, every once in a while, you get that fat guy goes up in the attic, and you see his foot come through the ceiling?
Yeah.
That's what happened with Rosie in heaven.
Oh, no.
She go up there, and then you see that big lesbian boot, a big Doc Martin come right through a cloud. And then she fall right down to hell.
Well, I'm sure she's going to get on the computer and start hogging about it right now.
Classless. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. When we come back, we played it before. Will Angie eat it? The things Angie will eat and won't eat. Producer Angie, a very discerning palate. More like... Well, something like what a sickly 5-year-old would eat. A very finicky 5-year-old. But you will be surprised.
Yeah.
Every now and again, that curveball.
We will gamble on it next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. The Ace Man recently found out that producer Angie's diet is a bit more delicate than the rest of us. So it's time for another round of Will Angie Eat It on the Adam Carolla Show.
I've been watching her from afar not eat stuff for a while, but when she rejected my Rainier cherries, my beautiful, plump, red and orange cherries, that's where I had to draw the line. Things Angie will eat: lobster, feta cheese, carrots, scallops, meatloaf, and smoked almonds, okay. But things she won't eat: artichokes, Rocky Road ice cream, Dodger dogs, blueberries, clam chowder, cherry Pop-Tarts. It seems like she won't eat almost everything, but just when you think you've guessed, she throws you a curveball. Right. Let's gamble on it. In a little bit, we call What Will Angie Eat?
Kool-Aid and candy, they both strike her fancy. Twinkies and corn dogs, they both make her happy. Fresh fruits and veggies don't go near her face, 'cause Angie is stuck in the yummy phase.
It's time to play Will Angie Eat It?
All right, we got $20 out, each of us. We're short on time, so let's get started.
Beef stew. Will Angie eat it?
Ooh, beef stew. Danny, what do you think?
Sure.
Say yes.
Yes.
She eats meatloaf. I'm going to say yes.
Mmm, there are carrots in there. She likes carrots, and then there are potatoes. They're vegetables, but maybe there's something. Maybe it's a form she doesn't like. I say no. I say won't eat beef stew.
Angie will eat beef stew.
Damn you!
I could have told him that.
Number two.
I'm right here.
French toast. Will Angie eat it?
Wait a second. This is tough because I see her finding syrup sticky and unpleasant. Mm. I'm going to say no.
I'm just going to say no because it's two odd foods together. She likes bread. She likes eggs. She doesn't like the two together, especially with maple syrup.
Oh, the eggs. Yeah. On the other hand, kids love kids and retarded people. That's what I usually use. Like, our kids with disabilities. I'm going to say no, she doesn't eat it either, even though she should. But yeah, it's eggs. Yes. Angie,
I do not eat it.
Thank you.
Number three.
What's wrong with you? Yes.
Guinness.
Hold on. 2-0 for T, 1-1 for 2-0 for T, and Danny 1-1 with me. Guinness beer.
Guinness beer.
No. Haven't I been right twice?
Yes, that's 2-0.
Oh, I think it's 1-1. Sorry.
No, that's for me. Go ahead.
Why don't you go back to the dolphin?
All right.
You know, I'm starting to think there's a guy that guy might have had a reason to tell you to F off. Mm. Once you really get going,
All right.
Tell us the animal story. Sorry.
All right. Here we go.
Be all right.
Here we go. Play the game.
Guinness are you going to be all right?
Guinness beer. Guinness beer.
She loves beer. Mm-hmm. But then Guinness is kind of dark and bitter. Mm-hmm. This is tough. Mm. What do you say, Adam?
I say doesn't like. It has, you know, she'll drink nail polish remover to catch a buzz, but I'll say no on the Guinness beer.
Mm. Dark and bitter, huh?
Mm.
I'm going to go with no.
No.
I, just to see if I can get a lead here, I'm going to say she will drink a little Guinness.
Mm-hmm.
I will not drink Guinness.
Oh! Yes. So Danny's 3-0, 2-1 for T and I. Best of five, or whoever has the most at five. Here we go.
Number four, Thin Mint Girl Scout cookies.
Mm. Danny, you're in the lead. Why don't you go first?
Yeah.
Thin Mints. No, she will not.
No.
I'm going to say, I'll also say no.
No, let's see. This is my chance to get back in the game. What human being would not like Thin Mints? I say she does like Thin Mints.
I love Thin Mints.
Yes! Yes.
I think Adam's pulled way ahead.
No, I haven't. Danny and I are both 3-1. You're 2-2, I do believe.
All right.
This is for the game.
This is for the game.
Chicken pot pie. Will Angie eat it?
I say yes.
And I'll say no.
Danny says no. Danny and I are tied. If I say yes, now again, that's a staple of young kids. On the other hand, it has peas and other things that grow in gardens in it. should I go for the tie with Danny? And then if Teresa's right, then Teresa ties us in three-way tie. I'll agree with Danny just to make it a fun three-way tie.
I will not eat it.
So Danny and I are now tied up.
I'm out.
And we're going into the bonus round. Now, keep in mind, people, I have lost to Teresa the last 9 times we've done this.
Yeah.
And I've lost to everyone in a tie. I've taken it to overtime. We've gone to sudden death. And then I've lost every single time. And what is really equivalent to a coin toss. That's how basically. I know I'm unlucky. All right. Danny and I tied up. What is the final question on Will Angie Eat It?
Which of the following condiments will Angie eat? Okay. Mustard or ketchup?
Mustard or ketchup?
I was going to say condoms.
I'm going to say she likes ketchup over mustard. I say she likes
ketchup. Well, I'm going to have to go the other way, right? Because I agree with you, but I'm just going to go the other way to do it, play the game.
Well, we can flip a coin and see who goes first. And let it be said that I've been burned going first in these tiebreakers before. All right. I say ketchup. Danny says mustard. Which one will she eat?
You win, Adam. Ketchup.
Yes! Oh. Yes!
There you go. Pass it over.
Yes, finally.
Finally.
Now I'm only down $400 in the Will Angie Eat It game and gay walking as well. What? There's $100 in here.
I didn't have any change.
All right, I'll make change.
Will
for my brother.
Angie Eat It?
All that she eats.
You don't need to do it today, man. I got my All right, nice job, baby. You're back in. We'll take a quick break. You didn't even know you're out, did you?
I had no clue.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back. Well, just enough time to give some thanks where thanks are due. I want to thank Aisha Tyler. Really, the only thing black about that chick is her name. That sounds horrible. That's the whitest.
I don't know if she'd appreciate that.
That's a 32-year-old white male in a beautiful Nubian princess's body. It really is. Brewing beer, playing Xbox, doesn't want kids. Okay. I'm staring into a mirror, the back part of the mirror. But you know what I'm talking about.
I can't actually see my reflection in a mirror.
Oh, the devil. Aisha Tyler, Balls of Fury, out next Wednesday. Billy West. BillyWest.com is where you go. Nikki Six, the heroin diaries. Good guy, good cause. The CD is in stores now. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla saying, mahalo. Forget about working on your mind. Start waxing the behind.